कन्या प्रभु नित्यानंदा प्रिया स्वैराज्यदाता श्रीवासवी गौभक्तवंदना Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radha
ശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമാം ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ബുധലേശ്വരേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാണി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ അജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാദിം സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമാം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതിം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനിം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധരാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണിം നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധി ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേ ത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപ്പല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാഭികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു ബാന്ധവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭോദിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ്ഭാരതമംഗജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന് വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതേ ആധ്യായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. We were discussing the 17th chapter last Sunday, and we have seen that Krishna has spoken what is known as Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam. Shraddhatraya means Shraddha. Shraddha is, we saw what Shraddha means. Shraddha means that Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana Sa Shraddha. That is the definition of Shraddha. That means one who has implicit faith in the Shastram, in the Vedic literature, and also in the injunctions of the spiritual master. Shastrasya Guruvakyasya. What is that? Satya Buddhyavadharana. Satya Buddhyavadharana means that he does not doubt about it. He accepts it without any reservations. Satya Buddhyavadharana Sa Shraddha. That is Shraddha. So in this chapter, when we talked about it last Sunday, in the verse number 3, Krishna said something very important. Krishna says that everything is based on Shraddha, how much Shraddha one has. And there also it was, we saw that how our conditioning in the material life, our conditioning in the material life has developed one kind of Shraddha. We have developed one particular type of Shraddha, and that Shraddha will control us wherever we go, in whichever circumstances we move into. So therefore Krishna says there, Satvani Rupa Sarvasya Shraddha Bhavati Bharata. Arjuna, everything is based on Shraddha. And this Shraddha, Shraddhamayoyam Purusho, Yo Yat Shraddhasa Evasa. Shraddhamayoyam Purusha. Everyone is based on Shraddha, what he does. For example, one who has Shraddha in a particular thing in life, he will always be, his mind will be inclined to acquire that, or to live a life according to that, what gives him the happiness. Because he finds happiness in that, therefore his Shraddha has developed in that way. Just like I mentioned before, some people are fond of eating nice prasadam. That's because the Shraddha is in prasadam. And similarly, somebody else is interested in music, so the Shraddha is in music. So wherever they go, they will still think that opportunity for enjoying good prasadam or good music or good football or whatever. Whichever way the mind is associated with, depending on sattvam, rajas and tamas, the three modes of nature, that Shraddha will develop in a person. Actually, this is such an important factor. And this Shraddha, in order to move that into adhyalpa vidya, into spiritual life, that is the most difficult thing. And that is what we are all fighting against. When Krishna spoke about this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how did Krishna say? Satvika adhyalpiki shraddha. Sattvagunam is adhyalpa shraddha. In other words, satvika adhyalpiki shraddha. When one comes to spiritual life and his shraddha is in spiritual life, he is considered to be in sattvagunam. Otherwise, he is not in sattvagunam. Karma shraddhastu rajasi. When one is working very hard in this world and in karmam, simply engaged in karmam, work, that kind of Shraddha is Rajasam. Krishna says, Satyadhya Alpige Shraddha, Karma Shraddha Tu Rajasi, then Tamas Yadharmaya Shraddha. Whenever you find somebody is engaged in very irreligious activities or sinful activities, what is that? That Shraddha is coming from Tamogunam. So, Satyadhya Alpige Shraddha, Karma Shraddha Tu Rajasi, Tamas Adhya Alpayo Shraddha, Malsevayam Tu Nurgunaha. Krishna says, when one's Shraddha is in none of these, neither in the Sattugunam, nor in the Rajogunam, nor in the Tamogunam, but simply engaging, serving Krishna, then Malsevayam to Murgunam. Krishna says that is beyond the three modes of material nature. This is what Krishna says this to Uddhava. In order to explain these things a little bit more, because sometimes we don't catch this point very well. Just like there was one person who was very much involved in repairing cars. And all the time he was dealing with the spare parts, isn't it? You know, fixing the car all the time. This spare, that spare. So many spare parts. He's always buying spare, spare, spare. That's always in his mind, spare parts. So when he went for a marriage feast once, they were serving various dishes. And when they served papad, whatever that is, he asked, can you give me a spare papad, he said. Why? That is a Shraddha. The Shraddha has come from spares to papad like that. So everything, when it comes like that, it becomes the nature of a person eventually. So he wanted an extra papad and he said, can you give me a spare papad, he said. So that's why he said. Similarly, you will see people who are working with computers, especially when young people, and they absorbed a lot in computer things like that, especially the computers. When they go to restaurants and they ordered something, say hot puris or something, they say, can you give me an online puri? Or can you give me a live puri? Why? Because that computer Shraddha is following him there also. You see? So like this, you will see, notice all these things in people's trends or the tendencies in them that follows them. This is their Shraddha. Because Shraddha is like that. So similarly, we also have to recognize this fact. Our Shraddha at the moment is in material world. We haven't turned our mind to spiritual world. When material world becomes totally unbearable, then we think about spiritual life. Otherwise, we are very much comfortable here. So there is why Shraddha in Adhyatmika Shastram, in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's words, when we get very serious about that, then Krishna says, Sattvik Adhyatmika Shraddha. That is when our Shraddha becomes Adhyatmam or spiritual. Up to that point, it's all in Rajasam and Tamasam. Isn't it? Karma Shraddha, so Rajasi. Rajasik Shraddha is Karmam. In we engage in Karmam. That is our nature. And that is Rajasik. And Tamasya Dharmayo Shraddha, Adharmaya Shraddha, or irreligious or sinful activities, that is Tamasik, Malsevayamtu Nirguna. Krishna says, Malsevayamtu Nirguna. So like this, Krishna spoke about that in that verse, in order to make us realize that it is not so simple to change our direction from Shraddha from this world to Shraddha to the spiritual world. It's not an easy thing. That's why Krishna is pointing out. And that is what, where our effort is required. The effort from the individual to move on from the material life to spiritual life and move on to Krishna's Krishna's world. And that is all this effort, what is required from our side. Now you can see how difficult it is. Very often we say that we have performed so many austerities, penances, but I've chanted so many rounds, I've done this, so many things we say. But at the end there is no result. Why? Because Krishna says that Shraddha is very much in this world. That's what Krishna says there. Then we saw later on in the verse 5 and 6, Krishna spoke, what did he say? Krishna says, Ashastra vihidam khoram tapyandeya tabojanaha dambam ahangara samyukta kamaraga balanvidaha. Krishna says, then in the verse number 3, Krishna says, Hey Bharata, Arjuna, Sarvasya means all the living entities, Shraddha, Satvan Rupa, Sattugunam, according to Sattugunam, Bhavati, it will stay according to Tasmal, therefore, I am Purushaha, this materialistic person, Shraddha Mayaha, he has always got Shraddha, in what? Yaha, Yashraddha, Saha, Saha, Eva. Then, whatever Shraddha he has got, accordingly he acts on that basis. Sridharacharya Swamiji's comments on that. Sridharacharya Swamiji is the greatest commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He has also commented on Bhagavad Gita. On his commentary he says that one who has got increased Sattvagunam, according to that, his Sattvika Shraddha will increase. And along with that, he will become more and more absorbed in the Sattvic way of life or Adhyatmic life. Similarly, Rajasa Shraddha as well as Tamasa Shraddha, he says, in the same way. ദെൻ അശാസ്ത്രവിഹിതം ഘോരം തപ്യന്തേ വേഴ്സ് ഫൈവ് തപോ ജനാഹ ദമ്പം അഹങ്കാരം സംയുക്താഹ കാമരാഗ ബലാന്യുതാഹ കർഷയന്ത ശരീരസ്ഥം ഭൂതഗ്രാമം അചേതസാഹ മാം ചൈവാന്ത ശരീരസ്ഥം താൻ വിദ്യ അസുരനിശ്ചയം വോട്ട് ഇസ് കൃഷ്ണ സൈസ് യേ ജനാഹ ഓൾ ദീസ് പീപ്പിൾ ദോസ് ദീസ് പീപ്പിൾ ദമ്പ അഹങ്കാര സംയുക്താഹ ദമ്പം ഇറ്റ്സെൽഫ് ഈസ് ബാഡ് ഇനഫ് അഹങ്കാരം ഇറ്റ്സെൽഫ് ഈസ് ബാഡ് ഇനഫ് But if these two things join together, imagine the situation. Dambha ahankara samyuktaha, Arjuna Krishna says. Dambham and ahankaram. Dambham and ahankaram means, Dambham means I am the important person. That is the Dambham. Ahankaram means the pride, the false pride. I am the doer. One is on the intellectual level, one is on the mental level. The activities based with karma. So, in both levels, when one becomes very proud, Krishna says, Dambha Ahangara Samyuktaha. If both these three things together, then Kama Raga Balanyudaha. Kamam, Ragam and Balam. What does it mean? It means that Kama means desires, Raga means attachment, and Balam means the strength of that. And because of all these things, Kama Raga Balanyudaha, what will happen? They will become indiscriminate. Achedasaha. Then, Sharirastam, ഭൂതഗ്രാമം അന്ധ ശരീരസ്ഥം മാംച ഏവ കർഷയന്തഹ ദാറ്റ് ദേ ഗിവ് പെയിൻ നോട്ട് ഓൺലി ടു ദ മെറ്റീരിയൽ എലിമെന്റ്സ് വിച്ച് ഹാസ് കോൺസ്റ്റിറ്റ്യൂട്ടഡ് ദയർ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് എർത്ത് വാട്ടർ എയർ ഈതർ ആൻഡ് ഫയർ വിച്ച് ഈസ് ഇൻ അവർ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ബോഡി ഈവൻ ദേ ഗിവ് പെയിൻ ടു മീ ഹൂ ഈസ് സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് വിത്ത് ഇൻ ദം ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിംസെൽഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഐ ഫീൽ ദ പെയിൻ when they engage in such activities which are done in ignorance. That's what it is. Ashastra vihidam ghoram tapyandeye tapojanaha dambam ahankara samyuktaha kamaraga balanyudaha then karshayandaha sharirastam then karshayandaha they engage in such severe penances, austerities and penances. Ashastra vihidam which are not prescribed in the Shastram. They do such things. Ghoram, very cruel things. And tapaha and penances they perform. And they burn themselves in that way. I put them in Taal Asura Nishchayan Vidhi. Know that they are born with demoniac nature. Krishna says they are born with the demoniac nature. So such people who are engaged in such a severe penances and austerities. So, in that verse we have also seen that there is a story in the Ramayana which I mentioned last Sunday also, that this one person, Jambuga wanted to perform penances. Now, many times people ask this question, why Jambuga was killed by Ramachandra? Jambuga was killed by Lord Ramachandra. He was a Shudra and he started performing penances. Now, why did Ramachandra kill Jambuga? Jambuga was killed for one reason only. The kind of penances he performed. What did he do? He tied a rope to the branch of a tree and he was hanging down, upside down, with head down and the legs upwards, tied to the strings. And underneath the head, he set up a fire. And the smoke was coming out from there. And he has put his head on top of that. And in that heat and the smoke, he was meditating. He started meditation. Very, very severe penances. Very, very severe penances. Ramachandra saw that and he immediately killed him. He killed him. Why did he kill him? Because Krishna doesn't approve Shastras or Krishna never approves such severe penances. How to perform meditation, Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look in the 6th chapter, you will see verse number 11. Krishna says how to sit for the penances. How to perform meditation. Shujau deshe pradishthapya sthiramasanam alpanaha natyuchidam natinijam chelajina kushottaram. In a clean place, underneath the banyan tree, or in the banks of a river, wherever it's very flat, one should maintain his seat.
either a blanket or a cloth or a deer skin or a skin of a leopard or darbha grass, whichever we like, you can accept it. And little bit warm is good. And everything, when it is properly laid out, then one can sit on that and perform his sadhana. Krishna says like that in the 6th chapter. So you can imagine why Ramachandra killed him. Sometimes people ask this question, oh, he was performing penances because he was a Shudra, Ramachandra has killed him. No, Ramachandra didn't kill him because he was a Shudra. Ramachandra killed him because his penances were Ashastra Vihidam Khoiram. What Krishna says here. Ashastra Vihidam Khoiram. Therefore, Ramachandra would not accept it. Ramachandra would not accept it. Similarly, another instance when Bali was killed, Sugriva's brother, when Bali was killed, everyone says, complains about Ramachandra. Why did he kill Bali like that? The reason for that was, Bali had doubles his strength if you face him directly. If you face him directly, his strength doubles. And all the time it goes doubles and doubles. So therefore Ramachandra decided to hide behind a tree and kill him. That's why Ramachandra did like that. And that was not considered to be adharma. For the sake of protecting Sugriva, Ramachandra had to do that. So Ramachandra's activities in Ramayanam, sometimes people find all these things a bit hard to digest because they say that why we should perform, why Ramachandra has done like this. Because the moment Ramachandra faces Bali directly, his strength increases all the time. Therefore the easiest thing to do was to hide behind a tree and shoot and kill him. And that's what he did. So similarly, the Jambuga was killed, Bali was killed, and Bali is considered to be the full of desires. That's Bali. Bali was full of desires, kamam. And this is what Krishna says here, kamaraga balanyudaha, that kamam was personified in Bali. Similarly, that does not mean that we should not perform any penances. That's not what it is meant. Like, for example, we have Ekadashi, isn't it? Ekadashi has to be performed. It's mandatory. It's compulsory thing. If you do not follow Ekadashi, it's considered to be sinful. But while performing Ekadashi also, we have developed what is called as Ekadashi feast, isn't it? So Ekadashi feast is not the, and whole day spending the time on the feast is not the answer to Ekadashi. Ekadashi is to be absorbed. Ekadashi means actually to bring all the 10 senses in one direction towards Krishna. That is Ekadashi. Ekadashi means that. To bring all the 10 senses in one direction towards Krishna. That is Ekadashi. So in order to do that, one has to withdraw oneself from all the other activities and spend as much time as possible in spiritual activities like chanting, studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is what is expected to be done on Ekadashi day and completely refrain from material activities. Now, after this verse, what Krishna is doing, saying here is that things are explained. First, Krishna covers the food. Krishna covers the food about which all the Shastras, Upanishads, Puranas, everything gives a lot of importance to it. Eating the food, what food we eat. And the food which comes under three categories, Sattvikam, Rajasam and Tamasam. So that is what Krishna is going to discuss now to Arjuna. Krishna is going to explain that in detail about the food. So food, what one eats, its impact on an individual, especially when one wants to advance on the spiritual life. That's what is discussed. Then Krishna discusses about tapas, penances. Then charity, and similarly about sacrifices, yajna. So, about the food, about yajna, about tapas or austerities and penances, and about charity. All these things, under the three modes of nature, how they work. This is what is going to be discussed in the next few verses. So, first one, Krishna says, Aharastubi sarvasya trivido bhavati priyaha yajnas tapas tatha danam tesham bhedam imam shrunu. Krishna says, Aharastubi sarvasya trivido bhavati priyaha. Aharam yajnam tapas danam. In all these things, according to the modes of nature, there will be big, big differences. The person in mode of goodness, sattvikam, rajasam, in passion and in ignorance, tamasam. His food, the way he eats the food, the kind of food he likes, and also the sacrifices he does, his austerities and penances and charity, everything will be different. When we go through these verses, you can also see how that reflects on every one of us very much. And whatever modes of nature has developed in one consciousness, accordingly, his shraddha will be in all these things. In all these things, namely the food and the tapas and yajnam and charity, everything. It is not the objects or the products itself is responsible. Not the activities, but it is the gunam behind it that's controlling that. His happiness and satisfaction in performing anything will totally depend on the modes what is inside him. Let's look at that. Aharasthavi sarvasya trivido bhavati priyaha. Yajnastavas tathadhanam tesham bhedamimam shrunu. Sarvasya tu aharaha api. Everyone's food, trividaha, three types, Krishna says. Priyaha bhavati. It becomes, it is pleasing to him. How? Tatha yajnaha tapaha dhanam. Similarly, yajnam, dhanam and tapas also comes into three categories. Tesham imam vedam shrano. Therefore, listen to me, their diversities. These three different categories, Krishna says. First one. Ayu sattubala arogya sukhapriti vivardhanaha rasyaha snigdhaha stirahrudhya aharaha satvya priyaha. So Krishna says that ayu sattubala arogya sukhapriti vivardhanaha, that is the nature of a person who is fond of food in the mood of goodness. What kind of food is that? Ayu sattubala arogya sukhapriti vivardhanaha. Ayu means lifespan, which will increase this lifespan. Then ulsaham, sattva bala arogyaha, is enthusiasm, is always enthusiastic in life. And his strength and freedom from illness, arogyam, sukha priti vivardhanaha. And it's always very pleasing to the mind and its taste also. Rasyaha, rasya means rasam. The food has got the proper taste in there. Snigdhaha, it's also just like ghee, which has got mode of goodness in there. The ghee makes the food in the mode of goodness. It has got always that fat in there. Stiraha, and it stays in the body for a long period of time. Hridyaha, and when he sees the food, he feels pleasure in eating that. Aharaha, such food. Satya priyaha, they are very dear to the people in the mood of goodness. So all that food, what brings these qualities, this what is mentioned here, ayu sattu bala arogya sugapriti vivardhanaha. Such qualities, when it is created by a particular type of food, all that food belongs to the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness. Now, generally, this kind of food, what is discussed here, that is also very pleasing to the mind. Krishna says here, pleasing to the mind. Strictly speaking, those who are not eating at home, sometimes it also happens we have to eat outside, isn't it? So you can notice also, even when you approach these restaurants and hotels, you will notice from the very outside you can say which category it belongs to. Whether it is sattvagunam or rajagunam or tamagunam. That very much affects the people also who eats there, isn't it? It's like some people, some restaurants are very much in the mode of passion and ignorance. Such items are sold in those places. And in addition to that, although they may present it depending on rajas or tamas, in rajagunam they will present it in a posh way. In a tamogunam, they will present it in a very dirty way. That's all its difference. So you can see whether the board itself will say Hotel D Tamogunam or Hotel D Rajogunam. Whatever, that board itself will come out very strongly in front of you. What food that's going to come out from there. So what it is this. This food has been given such an importance in spiritual life. You will be amazed to see how much it has been stressed, this thing called food. So that is the reason why prasadam is insisted all the time. You see, in Chandogya Upanishad, there is a very famous story about this, about the food, what we eat. The Upanishad says like this, that there was a student, there was a father whose name was Uddhalaka. Uddhalaka's son was Shvetaketu. Shvetaketu was sent to study Shastram with the spiritual master. Uddhalaka sent his son Shvetaketu to study Shastram from the spiritual master. Many, many years Shvetaketu spent the time with the spiritual master. After that, he comes back. At that time, Uddhalaka asked Shvetaketu, Shvetaketu, you have studied so many years. Now, what have you learned? He asked Shvetaketu. Shvetaketu started saying to him that I have learned such and such Vedas and so many other Upanishads, everything, whatever he has learned, he comes back and reports to Uddhalaka. Uddhalaka says to Shvetaketu, go and fast for 15 days now and then come back, he says. He goes there and fasts for 15 days without any food. When he comes back after the 15th day, Uddhalaka says to Shvetaketu, now you start reciting all the Vedic hymns what you have learned. Let me hear that, he said. Shvetaketu wanted to recite the Vedic hymns, but nothing was coming out. He couldn't recite any of the Vedic hymns. Everything was, he was not feeling any strength to do it. So at that time, Uddhalaka says to Shvetaketu, you should now go home, eat well, and then come back again, he says. Shvetaketu goes, eats and come back, and then he tells him to recite, and then everything starts coming out properly from him. This story has been spoken in the Chandogya Upanishad with a particular message to us. The message is this, that when he had no food for 15 days, when he had no food, his fire of digestion and the mind has stopped functioning. In other words, what is this thing called the mind? What is this thing called the pranan? Pranan is a life air. This is all coming from the food. How the food divides itself into different elements is discussed in Chandogya. Chandogya says like this, whatever solid food we consume, the gross form of it becomes stool. Little finer than that, that part of the food becomes the flesh. And finer than that is what turns into mind. You see? Finer than that becomes the mind. So anything solid we consume in our daily food, the gross form, the gross aspect of it, the grossest thing, which becomes the stool, and the finer than that, that turns into flesh, and finer than that, most fine part of it, is what becomes the mind. What turns into mind. So mind and the food are very closely linked. The yogis and the all spiritually inquiring personalities, they will always say this one point, that if you control your food, you can control your mind also to a large degree. When you can see that, when you eat well right up to your satisfaction, very well, first class feast, can you think of yourself chanting Hare Krishna at that time? No. What you want is a bed then, isn't it? To lie down. So there itself, the Shastras are saying to us that if you control your food, you can control your mind. Otherwise, it's not possible. And sometimes when overeaten, the tongue also starts functioning then, talking too much. It starts at that same point. These are all the subtle effects of the food. There is nothing but the mind is agitated because of the excess food that is gone in. This is why it said, we must remember this, gross food, solid food, whatever we eat, that turns into three. One part goes as the stool, which is the gross form. Then subtler than that, that becomes the flesh. And the finest part of it turns into mind. Turns into mind. So that's one thing. Now take the liquid things, what we consume. All the liquids, whatever it may be. All the liquids, what we take. That also in the same way turns into three, Krishna says there. Turns into three. The gross form of the liquids, what we consume, turns into urine. Turns into urine. And the finer thing, finer than that, turns into blood. And the most finest of all of them, that turns into what is known as the prana. You know, the life air in the body, that turns into prana. So, food is like this. The gross food goes into three different channels, and the liquid also goes into three different channels. One turns into urine, and the grossest form of the liquid, what we consume, turns into urine, and finer than that turns into blood, and finer than that it becomes prana. You see, finer than it becomes prana. So mind, the mind and the prana are actually nothing but gets its strength from the food and the drink what we take. From the food and the drink we take. We can give you an example also. Just for example, when a person is leaving the body, we always give him water, isn't it? You see, we give him water, isn't it? Maybe Ganga gel or Tulsi gel or whatever, pipe water or whatever it is, some water we give him. Why do we do that? Reason for that is, pranan is inside. The pranan is leaving the body, it's demanding water. That's the reason we give water, not food. We don't give him food. Okay, have a nice plate of prasad. No, we give him some liquid at that time, particularly water. This is why, because the pranan is demanding that. Pranan is demanding the liquid. So, just like, as I said, the gross food, the solid food turns into three, and in the form of a stool, and then the flesh, and then into mind. Similarly, the liquid that we consume also turns into three. What are they? It turns into urine in its gross form, the blood in the finer form, and finest of all, it turns into pranan. Pranan gets its life air, what we call as life air. Life air gets its strength from that. In this three way, it goes in. Now, what else is there in the food? Food is not only solid and liquid. No, that is our external eyes are saying like that. There is another thing called in the food, what is called as tejasa. Tejasa means the fire in there, the heat from that food. So, that heat is not the heat what we are talking about. It is referred to in the Shastram as tejasa. The tejas also goes in the three different directions. Three different directions. Tejas is what? Which turns in its grossest form, it turns into bones. Asthi. Asthi it is called. Asthi is the bones, isn't it? It turns into bones. And similarly, the next finer form than that, that turns into what is called majja. Majja means the part which is inside the bone, which is called the marrow, isn't it? I think it's called the marrow. So the marrow, it turns into marrow. The similarly, the tejas turns into marrow. So first it turns into the bones and then turns into the marrow. And whatever the last, the most finer thing, that turns into walk. The words what we speak, it comes from that. So all these are very, very subtle sides of the anatomy of the human body from the Vedic point of view. These things are not there in the modern medicine. Modern medicine won't tell you all these things. This is all from the Upanishads. Chandogya Upanishad says all these things, that this is how our body functions. So that is why if the body is fed with proper food, it will also come out in the proper words will come out, proper way the mind will function, and pranan also will get enough strength to execute its work. So from there you can see how important it is to eat the food, the right food. So that much about the type of food what we eat. So everything what we eat turns into these three different things. Now Uddhalaka told Shvetaketu, when Shvetaketu came there, Uddhalaka told him, eat and then come back and then you'll be able to speak. So Shvetaketu eats and comes back and then he was able to speak properly, to recite everything what he has learned. What has happened here? What happened here is nothing but when he took food, from there the mind has got its finer part and the prana also got its strength. So automatically it started, the fire started building up inside. And the result of that, that he was able to bring back everything from his memory and able to recite everything. So that is the result of that. Just like, suppose there is a very small fire, In that small fire, if you go and throw a big log of wood, what will happen? The fire will go, isn't it? Fire will get extinguished. So in order that the big log of wood to catch fire and burn, you have to first make the fire to grow bigger. Only then you should put the large log of wood into that. Similarly, Chandrakumarishad says like here, that Uddhalaka told Shvetaketu, go and eat food first. Once you eat the food, the fire will start burning. At that time, all this knowledge what you have acquired from the spiritual master will come out properly from the Guru. And that is what that story in the Upanishads tells us. Just like when Uddhalaka says also there, when they churn the yogurt, when they do with the hands, yeah, at that time what happens? The butter start building up in the middle, isn't it? Butter start building up the middle. And after a long time churning, you can separate the butter from the yogurt, isn't it? You can separate the butter from the yogurt. The walk or the words are like that. That when we eat this, the tejas in the food, when that gets churned very well, from there comes out the butter, what is known as the words or the walk. It says like that in the the subtle side of sushmamsham. Stulam and sushmam. Sushma means very fine side of it. That is, that turns into words. This is the reason why we say you shouldn't drink things like Coca-Cola and all that. Because all these things actually doesn't help pranam. They are only causing problems to the pranam. So those drinks and that food which are in the mood of goodness, that will help the pranam and the mind. And those who are actually in the tamogunam, that will also disturb pranam and disturb the mind as well. So now you can see, simply by maintaining a very high quality of food, particularly the sattugunam, your mind naturally becomes peaceful without too much endeavor. It becomes peaceful. So much the importance of food. And of course, absolutely, the when you see the next two verses, Krishna will talk about it a little bit more. How the modern way of life is totally in the mode of ignorance. Krishna says that. If you see the specifications, what Krishna has given for Rajogunam and Tamogunam, it is not even Rajogunam. It is virtually in Tamogunam, the modern lifestyle. Of course, we all have fallen into it now. It has become difficult to pull back from that. If we tell people, throw away that fridge from home, will anyone listen? No. We want to get bigger fridges, isn't it? So that more ice cream can go in the bottom shelf. And we accept it that it is all in the goodness. It's been offered to Krishna. No, Krishna is not accepting that. Krishna is saying that really the food, any food which is cooked more than three hours, in other words, after 3 hours, it is to be thrown out. It's not to be eaten. Because it's already lost its purity. And it's not any more food to be eaten. And our food habits in the modern world is virtually against this, isn't it? Against this. And we'll come to that later. Let's go into Rajogunam first. What does Rajogunam nature say? Krishna is saying here, Katvam lalevana tishna tishna roksha vidahinaha ahara rajasa seshta dukha shoga maya pradaha. Krishna says here, Katvamna levana tushna tishna rocha vidahinaha. Katvamna levana tushna tishna rocha vidahinaha. What does this mean? It means that extreme bitterness, extreme limey, tamarind style. You know the tamarind? I think it's tamarind, isn't it? Tamarind is tamarind. Yeah. Tamarind, salty, the heat, all these vanities in extreme and not much of a fat in there. Not much of a fat in that. That kind of food, this will, Krishna says, Trishna Rutsha Vidahinaha. What will create that? Dukkha Shoga. Dukkha, Dukkha Shoga Maya Pradaha. Dukham Shogam Rogam. That means distress, misery, and also illness. That's what it will create. Have you understood that difference between food in the Sattuguna and food in Rajoguna? Food in Rajogunam is Katvam Lalavana Tushna Tishna Rocha Vidahinaha. It is very much acidic in nature and it is excessively acidic and it is very salty, it's very hot, and also Tishna Rocha Vidahinaha, the limey taste of it, and also it's burning hot. This kind of food, some people are very fond of that. But it doesn't have much of a fat in there. Just like milk or milk products or ghee or butter, these things won't be present there. It's very much in the in that category. That kind of food, Krishna says, Dukkha Shoga Maya Pradaha. It will only create Dukham, Shogam and Rogam, diseases. That's what he says. Aharaha Rajasasya Ishtaha. This kind of food, Krishna says, is very dear to the people who are in the mode of passion. In the mode of passion, Rajasam. So naturally what will happen? When the food is like that, their Shraddha will also go in the Rajasic direction. In the Rajasic direction. That means what is Karmam tu Shraddha Rajasic, Karma Shraddha tu Rajasi, that it will become, his Shraddha will be into work, very active. He becomes. It's because he is so much absorbed by the... These are not very conducive for spiritual life. That is what Krishna is saying there. That earlier verse, Krishna says that the ahara, the ayu sattva balarogya sukhapriti vivardhanaha rasyaha snigdaha stirahadya aharaha sattva priyaha. When he spoke about the food in the mood of goodness, Krishna says the quality of that food. What can that be? Ahara satya priyaha. What are they? Snigdaha. Lot of fat in that. For example, ghee and butter and things like that. Cooked in like that. And also plenty of vegetables and grains and milk products. Things like that. That is what makes that sattvic nature of that food. And as soon as you come to the rajasic nature, the food seems katvam lalavana tushna tishna rocha vidahinaha. Very, very excessive hot. It's burning chilies like anything, and also it is full of salt and full of tamarind or limey or whatever. It's bitter, everything in excess. And that is what Krishna says here, dukkha shoga maya pradaha. It will only create distress. That's what Krishna is saying there. Then the Akatu Amla Levana Tushna Tishna Rocha Vidahinaha Ahara Rajasa Sesha Dukha Shoga Maya Pradaha. So along with the food, Krishna also mentioned what impact it will have on your body, isn't it? Just like here, for Rajasic food, what will happen? Dukha Shoga Maya Pradaha. It will create Dukham, Shogam and Rogam. That is the nature. And what about the Satvika food? Rasya Snigdha Stirahadya. It will create ayusatva balarogya sukhapriti vivardhana. The result of sattvic type of food is ayusa sattva balam, arogyam, sukham, priti vivardhanaha. All these things. Ayusatva balarogya sukhapriti vivardhanaha. It's pleasing to the mind, and the person also will be very peaceful with such food. That's what Krishna says there. And then, in the next verse, Krishna says about the tamasic food. After reading this verse, next verse, and after analyzing that, let's look into our own kitchen. And we'll see, we are very close to it. In everything, everybody, nowhere, nobody will be able to tell us that they are different than that. Unfortunately, it is like that. That is why the modern world, modern lifestyle is so... Is there any wonder that Bhagavad Gita is not going into the head? Is there any wonder Bhagavatam is not going inside? Because our lifestyle has gone like that way. Yadayam agadarasam pudibaryushitam chayal uchishtam abhijamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. Tamasapriyam. Tamasa's nature. Tamasic nature is like that. What is that? Yadayamam. Yamam means actually 3 hours. The night has got 4 yamams, isn't it? Six to, say, the sun sets at 6 and sun rises at 6 in the morning. So between 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning, there are 4 yamam. 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6, 4 yamam. So 1 yamam is 3 hours, isn't it? 1 yamam is 3 hours. So Krishna says, Yadayamam. Yadayamam means, first 3 hours is finished. That food is gone into mode of ignorance straight away. In other words, when the Krishna has spoken these things, people had time to cook at the right time and to eat at the right time. They had a system of lifestyle suited for that. Nowadays, what do? We come back from work, phone the takeaway to deliver the food 8 o'clock and we sit and watch the telly nicely. And the food is rice, I so nice, it's nice. And such people, what possibility is there for them to understand what is written in the Bhagavad Gita? How will it go into the head? Because it is Yadayamam. That's what Krishna is saying. Yadayamam. Yamam is finished. If it is 3 hours, it's not too bad. What comes will be probably 3 days. It's coming from there. It has been fridge, reheated. And then there is another box next to the fridge nowadays, isn't it? There's another box, which is a smaller box. Everything you take plate from this, put into this one. Press it, 3 minutes setup, go, press. Pull it out, food is ready. Wonderful, isn't it? And such people, Krishna is calling here, Tamasam Bhojana Priyam. They are in that category. There's nothing we can do about it, unless we are determined to cook and eat food. Unless we are determined to cook and eat food. In India, what's happening now is, it's of course the same lifestyle is developing there in a big scale. Everybody is working. So, husband has to go to work, wife has to go to work. So, the wife prepares a sabji for the whole week and puts it into this almirah called fridge. And puts it in every evening because she hasn't got time when she comes back from work, fully tired. So, she takes a part of it and gets served. And second day, third day, fourth day, the taste is changing. The moment you open the fridge door, the smell will come out from inside. It is that bad. Because this food, Krishna is talking about that later. When the food is stored like this, 3-4 days like that, then naturally the food is not anymore food. It is just amedhyam, Krishna calls it. Amedhyam has got two meanings. Amedhyam means one which is not medhyam. Medhyam means which cannot be, should not be eaten. Amedhyam also means, another meaning of that is it is stool. Virtually you are eating the stool, Krishna says. Bhojanam amedhyam, bhojanam tamasapriyam. Krishna says, yadayama gadarasam. Gadarasam means it has lost its rasam. Rasam, every food has its rasam. It is the juice or the rasam of the food that vitalizes the body, actually. So, gadarasam, then... Puri parishidam jayal. Puri means it has started releasing a smell. The food has started releasing the smell. Puri parishidam jayal. Then it's also because after cooking one night is over. In other words, it was cooked yesterday and it's been offered today. So once it so happened, I went to one house and when they went to the house, they offered a glass of sweet rice. So I thought there must be something special on that day. Because apart from the, every day you don't make sweet rice at home, but when there is a feast or there is something special day. So out of curiosity, I asked, what was the speciality today for sweet rice? It was the birthday of somebody, he said. It was a birthday. So, whose birthday is that? Oh, birthday was over last week, he said. In other words, the sweet rice has been prepared then. It was kept in the fridge for the week. It was not getting exhausted. So, it was served to anyone who came. So, in other words, yadayama gadarasam pudi parishidam chayal. Then, it is over. Over a night time, it has been stored. And ucheshtam means one which is the balance left over. Sometimes you have seen mothers feeding the children. they will feed the child, the food will come out through both sides, so the mothers will take it and start eating that, not to waste the food. They are thinking that it is a sign of love for the child. Mother thinks like that and start feeding the child in different ways. Always they do, everywhere. So this is uchishtam. And Krishna says uchishtam should not be eaten. It is wrong to eat uchishtam. Uchishtam, uchishtam is tamasam. Eating the remnants of somebody's food is tamasam. That is tamasam bhojana priyam. That is why it is forbidden to eat uchishtam. So Krishna says here, yadayamagadarasam pudiparishidam jayal uchishtam abhijamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. That bhojanam of that kind of food is very pleasing for those who are in the mode of ignorance, tamasam. Tamasic nature will build up from that. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, in these three things, Krishna has talked about the three different kinds of food. Once it so happened, two people went away. One was in the mode of passion and one was in the mode of ignorance. You can see their life when you look at it, how they interact with each other. They went to perform Shraddha ceremony of the Tamasi's father. Tamasi's father died. So Rajasi said, I'll also come with you. I also have to perform the... So you know, for performing Shraddha ceremony, they go to a holy place and you are not supposed to eat that day till you finish all the ceremonies, come home and then prepare the food and eat it. This is the normal system while performing the Shraddha ceremony. Not that you eat fully belly full and then go for performing the ceremony. So that's not done. So one Rajasi and one Tamasi, they went together to perform Shraddha ceremony in some river bank, somewhere you can imagine. So the whole ceremony takes some time, a few hours. They went in the morning, they finished everything, and then the Tamasi told Rajasi, we'll go home and eat food at home, he said. We'll go home and eat food at home. Rajasi was hungry. Rajasi wanted to eat urgently because he was fond of eating and his nature was he wants food straight away. But anyway, since Tamasi suggested, he said, we'll go home, and they went home. After going home, the Tamasi, as usual, everything tamasam, slowly, he prepares everything. So slow, everything. So he comes up and says to Rajasi. So Rajasi says to Tamasi, Tamasi says to Rajasi, we have to prepare the food, it will all be ready in a few minutes, he said. Because he could see that Rajasi was in a... Rajasic nature is to eat quickly, isn't it? Wants food straight away. Want to finish it quickly. He is hungry. He wants to, because he has got work to do, you see. That he has to run for the work. And therefore, he was rushing for the food. But Tamasi, as usual, he has no commitments in this world. So slow. So he was saying, wait, we'll do everything slowly. We'll prepare, organize nicely. So Tamasi was delaying and Rajasi couldn't wait. Rajasi was pushing and Tamasi was delaying things. At that point, Rajasi says to Tamasi, how did your father die? He said. So thinking that, at least let me take the subject off so that let the food get ready, you're saying that. Tamasi stops all the work and starts explaining what happened to his father. Tamasi says to him, oh, my father, that particular day he got up in the morning and then he went to the tank to bathe. After bathing, he went to the temple. He spent a couple of hours at the temple. Then he came home. Then he read the Srimad Bhagavatam for a couple of hours, you know. And then we could not understand what was going on. Tamasi was making the story bigger and bigger and bigger. It was longer and longer. It carried on like this for quite a long time. Rajasi was cursing himself. That where is the food, he was thinking. So at that time, since Rajasi asked this question, Tamasi asked the Rajasi, how did he die? He said... Rajasi says, he came home, fell in the bed and died there, he says. So in the words itself, you can see the difference. You don't have to go into action. Even before that, the mood was such that Rajasi's answer was there itself. He knew how his father died, but he had no time to explain that. So because of that desire to eat and that urgency to eat food, that Rajasic nature was building up so much inside. And the right opposite quality was building up in the Tamasic side. The Rajasic answered like this. He came home, he slept, and he died there, he said. There was not much story. Tamasic story lasted over an hour to talk about the death of his father. So Tamasic and Rajasic, they are two different nature. And that you will notice in everything. The Rajasic, how he eats, how his mind is always focused in work. He has so much to do in this world. He has no time to think about anything. Running here, running there. No time to eat, no time to bathe, no time for anything. He is the so-called busiest person in this world, the Rajasic. And the Tamasic, he has got all the time in this world. He will always tell you what is there to be done. You know, that is his mood. Ah, let it be done tomorrow, we can see later. Like this, postpone everything. That is the tamasic nature. So all this is coming from where? Krishna says, this is all coming from the food. This is all coming from the food.
Yadayadagadarasam pudibarishidam chayal uchishtam abhijamidhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam tamasapriyam.
That is what it is. So we have seen now three types of food and three types of nature in a person. So from there one must understand that as much as possible we should focus on eating sattvayam, food sattvayam, and the eating habits also has to be sattvayam. Otherwise it will have an impact on us in our nature. It will be very, you see, all these things has to change in us, and that is what we are fighting against. And Krishna is saying there, when all these things turns into spirituality, our nature will also change. Then after this, in the next three verses, Krishna is talking about a very important subject, what is known as yajnam. Yajnam. What does yajnam means? We talked about this yajnam in the third chapter a lot, isn't it? Yajnam was one of the most important topic in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when we talked about karma. When we finish this 17th chapter, we will go through from chapter 1 to chapter 17. And we will go through all the important topics what Krishna has discussed in each chapter. That way you will be able to sharpen your memory of Bhagavad Gita, whatever we have discussed so far. And that will also give some feeling for how Bhagavad Gita started and ended up in the end of 17th chapter before we go into the 18th chapter. So this yajnam was discussed in the third chapter. And there, Krishna is saying here that abhalagakshivirajnyo vididrishto ya ijyadeyim yashtavyame vedimanaha samadhaya sasatvigaha. So this yajnam, like we saw the three types of food qualities, isn't it? And I'm sure that all of you will agree with me that our modern way of life is the third type, isn't it? Tamogunam. Tamogunam is the type of food what most of us are in habituated today. Especially those who have to work also, they are forced to accept that kind of food due to various reasons. But when this tamogunam permeates in the whole society, when everyone falls victimized by that, naturally from that society there won't be any much of a spiritual life, will not happen. So often people ask why people do not come and hear Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Reason is this, that the food quality, the type of habits what they have with regard to the food won't allow them to take any interest in spiritual life, won't allow them to do that. So therefore here Krishna is saying here, abhalagaanshi vidyajno vididrishto yamijyane yashtavyame vedi manah samadhaya sasatvigaha. Then we have talked about the food habits depending on the three modes of material nature. Similarly, yajnam or sacrifice also will change. Then what is the first thing? The sattvic nature of performing sacrifice. Sattvic nature of performing sacrifices. As far as the eating is concerned, the Shastri conclusion about eating is that the way the Shastra sees it is that hunger is there in the stomach. Hunger is a disease. And what is the food is the medicine. That's how they say. Hunger is the disease and food is the medicine. In other words, the eating has to be controlled to such a degree that it should help only as a medicine it should be taken, the food. and that way, by eating in that way, one gets practically a finer control on the mind and the senses. That's what Krishna says there. So here, the mood of people who are in the mood of goodness, they will perform sacrifices according to the injunction of the Shastram. According to the injunction of the Shastram. That is the first difference between Sattvikam, Rajasam and Tamasam. Yajnam or sacrifices are also categorized into these three. Sattvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Goodness, passion and ignorance. Then, and the, let us understand this word Yajnam. Yajnam means, there are two, three important definitions for Yajnam. Devada prasadagam karmam yajnam. In other words, yajnam is a sacrifice that you perform for the pleasure of the higher authorities, like the demigods and the Supreme Lord. Devada prasadaga karmam. Any karmam that you perform for the pleasure of the higher living entities, that is called yajnam. Like we have Rajasuyam, Agnishtomam, Adhiratram, Vajaveyam. Similarly, there is number of them mentioned in the Shastram. And also Japam, chanting the holy name, is also Yajnam. You say Jabayajnam it is called. Yajnanam Jabayajnosmi. Krishna says, among all the Yajnams, I am chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name. Yajnanam Jabayajnosmi. Krishna says there. So this Yajnam or sacrifice, this Yajnam or sacrifice is an important thing. Similarly, yajnam has also another definition. Anything what is performed for the welfare of the whole society, that is also called yajnam. It's also called yajnam. In other words, whatever that is done not for our own selfish benefits, but for the benefit of others, that is called yajnam. That is called yajnam. So that is why when you discuss the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentioned this there, isn't it? Then about yajnam, he says, Saha yajna praja srishtva puro vaja prajavani anena prasavishyadva srishtavo kamaduk. Saha yajna praja srishtva puro vaja prajavani anena prasavishyadva eshavo stishta kamaduk. Krishna says there. What does it mean? It means that make your life a yajnam, make your life as a sacrifice, you won't feel distress. In most of our life, we experience a lot of distress in this world, isn't it? Where is this distress coming from? Because we never made our life a yajnam. That is why this distress is coming back to us. Because as long as Krishna says, as long as one is working for oneself, one's own senses, to satisfy senses or family or whatever, there has to be some unhappiness in life. That's the way it is. Among all the four stay varnashramas, among the four ashramas, brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha and sannyas, sannyasa ashramam is considered to be the topmost. And Krishna says, I am sannyasi, Krishna says. Why? Because sannyasa ashram is the only ashram where there is no selfishness in there. It is done for the benefit of others. Ideal sannyasi lives for others. He has no selfish interest in himself. Everything what he does is for the benefit of the society. And therefore Krishna says, I am sannyasam among all the ashramas. He doesn't say he is grahastha. Because grahastha, Krishna knows, grahastha will always thinking, where is the profit? Where can I make money? This is grahastha's nature. It can't be given up. But at least Krishna says, Sahayatya praja srishtva puryovaja prajavadi anena prasavishyadva eshavostishta kamadhuk. If you execute your life in such a way, Krishna says, praja srishtva puryovaja prajavadi, then in what will happen? Anena prasavishyadva eshavostishta kamadhuk. Demigods pleased with your activity, they will provide you with all your happiness, what you require. That's why in the very next verse, Krishna says, Parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyadam devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyadam. Krishna says, Edan devayatanena te deva bhavayanduva. when one develops the yajnam nature in a person, yajnik nature in a person, and he starts offering everything to the benefit of the, for the pleasure of the devadas, for the pleasure of the devadas, what will happen is, parasparam bhavayanda, mutually they will recognize your sacrifice and they will shower you with all the happiness what you require. Tevrasparam bhavayanda shreya paramavapsyadham, in return they will offer everything what is required for the society. So often this question came up before also. In the, when Prabhupada came to preach Krishna consciousness in America first time, there was always this question coming back, that happiness in life, is it depends on our effort in this world? Prabhupada said that it is not. It's not dependent on our working hard in this world. On the other hand, even after working hard, what we find is many of the part of the human society are very, very unhappy in this world. This is the subtle side of the what Krishna talks about in the third chapter. That happiness is not dependent on the hard work you put in. Because we find in this world that such society, which are working very hard, using all their intelligence, does not seem to be very happy in this world. They are the greatest anxiety and greatest concern of survival in this world. That's what we find, isn't it? So anyone who has limited, little bit of thoughtful nature can analyze this and see this, that results from hard work alone does not make a person happy. On the other hand, Prabhupada explains there that when the life becomes a sacrifice, a yajnam for others, and when it follows the injunctions of the Vedic literature and executes their life in this world in that way, that society will be happy and will go back home, back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, simply increasing the karmam and the results of that karmam, more vasanas, more births after that to fulfill the desires that has come from those vasanas, more bondage, more entanglement and more material bodies. This is the result of that. This subtle side of the spiritual consciousness is what Krishna explains here. That those who are in the mood of goodness will perform sacrifice in such a way which will be based on the shastram. First thing, it will be based on the shastram, number one. Number two, all their sacrifices will be for the benefit of the society, not for themselves, for the benefit of the society. While discussing Shruti Gita, Prabhupada gives these comparisons of different kinds of activities in this world. Even charitable activities, he classifies them, which category each one belongs to. All those things are discussed there. So here you can see that the Krishna says here that any yajnam or sacrifice which has to be performed by those in the mood of goodness will be purely based on the Shastra Siddhantam. Based on the Shastram they will do it. And without deviating a little bit from there, that they will execute their yajnam. And in addition to that, they will have no desire for results from that sacrifice. That this is the nature of those who perform the sacrifices or yajnas in that particular way, Krishna says. Now, this is as far as the yajna is concerned. Now, Krishna has in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, if you look at the first verse of Bhagavad Gita, that this is something very important, because how does Bhagavad Gita begin? Bhagavad Gita begins like this. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveda yuyulsavaha mamaga pandavascheva kimagurupada sanjayaha. Dhritarashtra vaja, isn't it? Dhritarashtra asking this question to Sanjaya. Sanjaya, tell me what happened in Kurukshetram, which is also called Dharma Kshetram. In Dharma Kshetram, you can see there are four questions in that verse. In that verse, there are four questions. What are they? Dharma Kshetre Samaveda Yuyulsava Mamaka Kima Akaurvada. That's one question. In other words, Dharma Kshetra, in Dharma Kshetram, my people, that means Dhritarashtra's people, Mamakaha, Dhritarashtra's children, Duryodhanas and all others, rest of them, what did they do in Dharma Kshetram? Second question, in Dharma Kshetram, Pandu's children, which are Pandavas, who have come there to fight the war, what did they do? That's the second question. Third question, in Kurukshetram, which is Dharmakshetram, Kurukshetra, Kurukshetram is also called Dharmakshetram. In Kurukshetram, the Pandavas who have come to fight the war, what did they do? Similarly, in Kurukshetram, my children, Duryodhanas and others, they came and to fight the war, what did they do? These four questions are there in that first verse itself. Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samavedaya Yulsavaha Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva Kimagurvada Sanjayaham. Why these four questions? You may ask this, why is it like that? If you break that verse, you will see there that we have dharmam as well as karmam in us, isn't it? Karmam as well as dharmam in us. All of us are aware that dharmam has to be followed. Dharmam has to be followed. But sometimes in the process of execution of karmam, we forget dharmam. Is it not? Sometimes in the process of execution of karmam, we forget dharmam. We forget dharmam. Is it not? I'm sure most of us must have gone through sometime in life, if not all the time. Sometimes in life, we all face this situation. We know what is dharmam, but we follow the karmam. At that time, karmam takes over. Karmam decides what line we should follow. So, when we forget dharmam and we give importance to karmam, dharmam fails. Dharmam fails there. Isn't it? Dharmam fails. Actually, karmam should not be executed without dharmam. Dharmam is the guideline for karmam. Otherwise, karmam has no meaning. Karmam performed whimsically without dharmam in it is vikarmam. Isn't it? Karmam, akarmam, vikarmam we have seen earlier in the third chapter. So, it will either become vikarmam. It will become vikarmam. And against injunction of the shastram. So, dharmam and karmam, they are very closely linked. Dharmam and karmam are very closely linked. Once you give up dharmam and once you execute karmam, that will cause problem. How does it cause problem? The problem causes like this. This dharmam and karmam is both within us. As soon as a friction develops between the two, as soon as a friction develops between dharmam and the karmam, that will have an immediate impact on our consciousness. Immediate impact on our consciousness. And that friction, when it builds up inside, after executing so much activities, eventually it develops into a disaster. Eventually it develops into a disaster. So that's why Krishna is saying here that dharmam has to go along with karmam. Otherwise, this is why yajnam is teaching us, all the yajnam is teaching us, that perform yajnam, perform sacrifice. And only through the prescribed process, what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you do not follow that very strictly, we will easily fall off into mental speculation and start acting whimsically. And therefore, no results also come from that except distress. Distress will be the result. That will come from that. For example, let us look at it this way. That Krishna spoke about this dharmam in the Bhagavad Gita. The science of dharmam. That is what Bhagavad Gita is, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita teaches us this, that following this process, Krishna says, you can get liberated from material existence. That's the final goal to come out of this. But when we transgress these rules, what Krishna has laid out, and we act whimsically, then there is no more dharmam involved there. It's purely karmam, isn't it? Purely karmam. So, karmam, when it is executed whimsically, it's not karma yogam anymore. It's not karma yogam anymore. So therefore, yajnam trains a person to live a life in this world through the process of karma yogam. That he does not deviate from that. And Krishna also said, what did Krishna say a little earlier? We saw in the last verse in the chapter. Last chapter. Krishna says, what does Krishna say in the last verse? He said that the Tasmal Shastram Pramanande. Shastram is the Pramanam. There is no other way you can change in the Shastram. Tasmal Shastram Pramanande Karya Karya Vyavasthidaho. That Karyam and Akaryam, what to do and what not to do, has to be based on Shastram. That's what Krishna is saying. So those who are performing yajnam or sacrifices in the mood of goodness will consult Shastram before they do anything. They will only execute, according to the Shastric injunctions, otherwise not. That is one. Secondly, the results of the sacrifices is not for their own selfish benefits. You see, results of the sacrifices is not for their own benefits. This is the important point that is Krishna has mentioned there. So, so what happens now? We have to look at it a little bit more, because here there's a lot of things. Then abhisandhayatu balam, verse 12. Dambhartam abhijayvayal ijyade bharata shreshta tam yajnam vidhi rajasam. Now Krishna is talking about rajasic nature. How does he perform sacrifice? That's also very interesting. What are they? He will not care for Shastram so much. Whatever in his mind he thinks, he'll do that. He makes his own Shastram, in other words. That's what he does. First thing, he makes up his own Shastram. And then what else he do? Then he will have a lot of desires to come get to obtain from this sacrifice what he is making. Rajasic nature is like that. Without any results, he won't do anything, number one. And then whatever he does, it will be based on his Shastram, what he has created. And not only that, he will have many plans in his head. With this sacrifice what I am making, not only I must get this benefit, much more than that. All these things will be in his head. And also he wants to become popular. And his popularity should increase by performing such a sacrifice. And like this, without consulting Shastram, completely based on his whimsical way, with false pride and with a lot of material desires, whatever sacrifice one is performing, that is in the mood of passion. Only when the mood of passion increases, one will execute such yajnam, such sacrifice. Or in other words, when the person executes sacrifices in the mood of passion, what is important there? He is the important person there. Whereas in the mood of goodness, when one executes sacrifices, what is that there? His sacrifice is based on what? It's based on the benefit of the society or the pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see? If I expand this a little bit more, it won't be very pleasing to many people. Because sometimes you see marriages. Take for example, Vivaha Yajnam it is called, isn't it? What is the modern Vivaha Yajnam? How much money you have got to spend? That's the modern Vivaha Yajnam, isn't it? Yeah. And what is expected from that? Name and fame. So many people should come, know about it, what has happened. I heard recently somebody has spent $60 million on a marriage. And to such an extent, the sacrifice of marriage has gone into. Sacrifice of marriage has gone into. Vivaha Yajnam, it is a sacrifice. But that sacrifice, because not knowing the what is, if you categorize that yajnam into one of the Satyagam, Rajasam and Tamasam, that falls into Rajasam. You may have spent 60 million, but that falls into Rajasam. Unfortunately, it is not even Satyagam. Just see that when we ignore Shastram, when we ignore Krishna's words and not understand what Krishna is saying there, and we execute things according to our whims, our mind, and start doing things, then it becomes Rajasam. In other words, sometimes you can see so many sacrifices goes on. 60th birthday, 21st birthday, 40th birthday. We have got so many birthdays. Everything for what? To rest the whole world should know that I got there. Isn't it? So these kind of yajnam is considered to be Rajasam. It is all considered to be in the mode of passion. We will say, oh, we have given prasadam to so many people, this, that and the other. That may be fine. But it comes into this category of Rajasic nature. That is why intelligent people who consult Shastram before they engage in yajnam, And Brahmanas also, who are trained in that way, they will also perform yajnam for such situations. Otherwise they don't perform yajnam. they don't perform yajna. Actually, it is a very interesting thing. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, as you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj performed a Rajasuyam sacrifice, isn't it? Rajasuyam sacrifice he has performed. And sometimes, and who was the chief guest there? Krishna was the chief guest, wasn't it? Krishna was honored in that Rajasuyam sacrifice. All these things were done. In spite of that, Pandavas had to suffer a lot. So the question came up. How come even after Rajasuyam is a very, very difficult sacrifice to perform? Ordinary people cannot even think about it. Even if you look in the history, there are not many times Rajasuyam sacrifice has been performed. There's one mentioned about Varuna performing once, and then another one is mentioned about Yudhishthira Maharaj performing Rajasuyam. 17 months and 17 days it lasted. We talked about that in the Bhagavatam, if you remember, in the 10th canto. So after performing such a long-lasting, highly expensive sacrifice, Yudhishthira Maharaj was not happy from the results. He was not happy about it. He still had to go through a lot of distress afterwards. So the question came up. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question. Why this sacrifice did not give me happiness? No doubt, they honored Krishna in the sacrifice and everything. That was all perfect. They did the right thing. But on the other hand, in spite of all these things, Yudhishthira Maharaj was not happy. So at that time, Bhishma Pitamaha answers that question. The answer was like this. The money that is required for performing sacrifice should be earned in the proper way. First thing. Should be earned in the proper way, based on dharma. How was Rajasuya's wealth was earned? If you remember, the four brothers went in four directions. And won over all the kings in different directions, and their wealth was taken out from them. And also, Rajasuyam was helped by a lot of wealth which was got from the Krishna, gave the advice to them to bring the wealth from Himalayas. That story of Marutas which we have talked about. So like this, wealth was brought like that. And therefore, that had drawn a black mark on that Rajasuyam. That Rajasuyam had this effect on that. So because of that, it says that Rajasuyam was not the greatest sacrifice. In spite of 17 months and 17 days, what Yudhishthira Maharaj has done and Krishna has allowed them to do. So you can see that all the sacrifices has a rule. One has to follow that strictly. Only then that sacrifice is perfect. And that is where Shastram comes. So you need people who know Shastram about it. For each and every sacrifice, there are rules associated with that. All those rules has to be followed strictly. Only then the results will also come accordingly. Otherwise, results may not come. This is what the point is making. So, all the sacrifices, based in the mood of goodness, or twigam, they consult the Shastram strictly, without any deviations, and performed completely for the satisfaction of the society. That is Sattvigam. That sacrifice, which is performed in a very opulent level, opulent scale, without consulting Shastram, with a lot of material desires, for one's own popularity, is called Rajasam. Now let us look at what is called Tamasam. In the third one, verse 13, Krishna says, Vidihinam asrishtanyam mandrahinam adakshinam shraddhavirahidam yajnyam tamasam parijakshadeyam. Krishna says that vidihinam asrishtanam does not look at any do's and don'ts, injunctions, nothing. Never cares for them. And mandrahinam adakshinam, mandrahinam, there is no mantram. Mantram is a part of every yajnam. That means you need people who have knows the knowledge of mantra. And there is no mantra in the tamasic people in their yajnams, in their sacrifices. And what else does it say? Adakshinam. Dakshina is a part of a sacrifice. Every sacrifice is a part of it is dakshina. Just like you can see in the marriages also, after the marriage ceremony is over, the priest is given some dakshina, isn't it? So dakshina is a part of the sacrifice. It should be performed, and every sacrifice has a dakshina. So Krishna says there may not be any dakshina for the tamasic person. Then Shraddha Virahidam Yajnam. Shraddha Virahidam. In other words, he has no much interest in this, what goes on there. He is not much concerned about it. He will perform something without any proper understanding. Only by namesake it is a yajnam, Krishna says. And it would not have the purity, nor will not have the sincerity in performing that. And those who are very much increased in tamogunam, their yajnams will be in that way. Yajnams will be that way. Then. So, Krishna says, Vidhihinam asrishtanam, mandrahinam adakshinam, shraddha virahidam yajnam, tamasam parijakshade. So, for the yajnam of the tamasic person, the nature is, he has no shraddha in what he is doing. He has no shraddha. He does things at his own will, at his own time, whichever way he wants it. That's what Krishna says there. So, so we have seen here, three types of food and three types of yajnam also. How yajnams are performed. in Mahabharatam, because the way to read Mahabharatam is, first one should study Bhagavad Gita first and then read Mahabharatam. Then it will be a lot more meaningful, because Vedavyasa Maharshi kept Mahabharatam in the Shanti Parvam, isn't it? That's where Mahabharatam comes, Bhagavad Gita comes. What has been spoken in Bhagavad Gita, the practical application of that is what you see in Mahabharatam, actually. What you see in Mahabharatam. So here you will see that so many incidents in Mahabharatam, if you look, so many things what are mentioned, will all have a close resemblance with what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So, if you have understood Bhagavad Gita properly, and then you start reading Mahabharatam, it will all make a lot of sense. Otherwise, what happens is, sometimes people read Mahabharatam first. They think, oh, we have to get a background of the story. So, they start reading Mahabharatam. But when they read Mahabharatam, they get confused about it. They get, because the reason for that is, they have not understood the rules behind it. You see, the rules are in Bhagavad Gita. When you read Bhagavad Gita first and understand Bhagavad Gita very well, and then you read Mahabharatam, you will find the rules apply there in practical life. Whereas, when you read Mahabharatam first and start reading Bhagavad Gita, you will find that Mahabharatam was a little bit confusing to us. So that's why it is said like this, that Mahabharatam we should read after reading Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the tattvam. The principle is Bhagavad Gita. And that tattvam is elaborated in Mahabharatam for us to understand it in depth, so that when the whole thing is put forward with the background story, then it becomes a lot more clearer to us, and that's why it is spoken like it is said like that. So, vidhihinam asrishtanam, mandrahinam adakshinam, shraddha virahidam yajnam, tamasam parijakshadayam. Krishna says like this, that the tamasic nature is, there is no shraddha. Tamasic nature is, there is no shraddha. Then, devadvija guru prajna pujanam shaujam arjavam brahmacharyam ahimsacha shariram tava uchyadem. Shariram tava uchyadem. Now Krishna is going to talk about tapasa. Tapasa means austerities and penances. What, how that falls into three categories again, just like the shraddha and aharam food and also yajnam. Devadvija guru prajnam pujanam shaujam arjavam brahmacharyam ahimsamsha shariram tapa uchyadem. When the sattvagunam increases or rajogunam increases in a person, accordingly the three kinds of yajnam was discussed. Now let's talk about the performance of tapas, penances, what he performs. First of all, the goal of all penances is to bring the mind towards Krishna, isn't it? To bring in unidirectional towards Krishna. Then we have got three things for this. What are they? The body, the senses, and the mind. This is what we have got. And if we can bring all of them in Krishna's service and absorbs in Krishna, then that is become the proper penances. So along with that, in a similar way, the tapas also, austerities we perform also, falls into three categories. What are they? Austerity of the body, austerity of the words, and austerity of the mind. Three things. Austerity of the mind, austerity of the words, and austerity of the body. So, Krishna is going to explain that, what they mean. Austerity of the mind, austerity of the body, and austerity of the senses. Those who worship the devatas, the devatas, demigods, those who worship the brahmanas, those who worship the spiritual master, or those who worship the learned people, and always keeps their body clean, and don't engage in any irreligious activities, always performing religious activities, and by mind, words, and the deeds, perform a celibacy, brahmacharyam in their life, then such kind of austerity, Krishna says, is the bodily austerity. Krishna says that's called the bodily austerity. Let me explain that, what it means. Krishna said here that manasa vaja karmana, that means by the mind, by the words, and by action, he performs celibacy. What does celibacy mean? Celibacy for a brahmachari, celibacy for a grihastha, celibacy for a vanaprastha, and celibacy for a sannyasi is there. For all of them. What is celibacy in grihastha ashram is different. What is celibacy in sannyasa ashram? They are different. You see. Similarly, celibacy for brahmachari is also different. So they have specifically defined. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that later. Then, what else is there? Then, bringing the mind, bringing the senses, and bringing the body all for the sake of, for pleasing Krishna, in Krishna's service, in other words. And also, always engage in the service of the those personalities who are higher than us, like the demigods, the brahmanas, the spiritual master, and all the learned panditas, such people. When one does that, Krishna says, it is the performance of the austerities in the plane of body or in the bodily level. That is called the performance in that level. Now, brahmacharyam or celibacy means a restricted controlled life of the senses. Niyandrita brahmacharyam it's called niyandrita brahmacharyam. Niyandrita bahya indriya jivitam is brahmacharyam. In other words, when one leaves a restricted control over all his senses, that he is brahmachari. He maintains celibacy, in other words. So, in other words, no uncontrolled sense gratification. That is what basically it referring to. Now, in one instance, what happened was, that, if you remember, Yudhishthira Maharaj performed a sacrifice, not this Rajasuyam, much later, which is called Ashwamedham. Ashwamedham sacrifice was performed. You can read this in the Mahabharatam, at the very end of Mahabharatam. It's called Anishasana Parvam. That's where it comes. In that sacrifice, after the sacrifice was performed, so many people came, great brahmanas, they came there, and they glorified Yudhishthira Maharaj in the sacrifice, after the sacrifice. They glorified Yudhishthira Maharaj. So, at that time, a mongoose came there. Do you know what that mongoose is? Mongoose is a kind of an animal which are very deadly against the snakes. They don't get bitten by the snake because it's not effect poison on them. They're virtually like the cat and the mouse. They are opposite to each other. So mongoose came there, and this mongoose came and started rolling over everywhere in the sacrifice. Rolling over everywhere. And the mongoose had half of its body golden color, and the other half was black color, in the normal color. So when it rolled over many times, nothing happened. So it came up to Yudhishthira Maharaj and started speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj was very surprised that a mongoose could speak. But mongoose spoke like this. He said, this so-called Ashwamedha sacrifice is absolutely useless, he said. It has no value, he said. So at that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj could not understand why he said like that. So this mongoose was replying like this: "This Ashwamedham sacrifice, what you have performed, has not complying strictly with the Shastram," he said. "Not on the mantra side or anything, that the austerity what was required to be performed was not performed." And he gave an example to the Yudhishthira Maharaj of what happened in another sacrifice where he went. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked him, "What happened?" He says, "There was one sacrifice which happened in another place," he said. "I went there. What happened was, there was one old Brahmana. And the Brahmana had his wife, his son, and son's daughter, and daughter-in-law. The four of them. Four of them, they lived together. And they lived from the food they have collected from the field. After the field harvest is taken away, harvest is over. After the harvest is taken off, whatever the grains that was fallen on the ground, they'll go and collect it, bring it home, grind it, cook it, and then eat it. This is how they lived, this Brahmana family. So all four of them, one day, in one instance, they collected food grains like this, and they were very, very hungry. For many days they had no food. And they were starving, but they were very rigidly following the Unchavrati, what is called, which is the collected food from the field. So they brought it home and they made everything and they ground it, made some flour and cooked it and were ready to eat. When they were ready to eat, one guest arrived there and guest said, "I'm very, very hungry. I need to eat something," he says. So the Brahmana offered his portion to him. He was not satisfied. Wife offered her portion. The son offered and the daughter-in-law also offered. All of them offered their food. As soon as the guest ate all of that, he was satisfied and he showed his real form and blessed the Brahmana. And after that sacrifice, this mongoose says, "I went around and I was turning around myself in the water where they have washed their hands. Half my body has turned into gold." It says golden color. "I have come here to check out if my other half also will turn into gold. And that's what I have tried to do, but it has not changed color." In other words, this sacrifice, what Yudhishthira Maharaj has performed, was not up to that same level as the sacrifice that Brahmana has performed. The mongoose replied like this to Yudhishthira Maharaj at that time. And why is it like that? The Shaririya Tapasya, that means that tapas or austerity based on the bodily austerities what they have performed was on a much higher level than what Yudhishthira Maharaj and other brothers have performed in the sacrifice in Ashwamedham. That's what it was saying. That austerity of the body, what they have performed was so high because they strictly, rigidly followed the Shastra. That was their success. And therefore, the sacrifice was also a success. At the end of the sacrifice, the guest who came was a very honorable guest. And he was able to offer that benediction to them. That they have succeeded in the results what they obtained automatically in otherwise. That's what it was saying. There's also another interesting thing there. That, you see, one of the most important personality in Mahabharatam is who? Karna, isn't it? Everybody has a soft corner for Karna. I don't know, those who have read Mahabharatam will always find, why did this happen to Karna? Isn't it? Why did this happen to Karna? Through that story of Karna, Vedavyasa Maharshi has given a very, very important message to this world. Only if you read Mahabharatam's commentary, you will find out all these things. What that message is, you see, Karna, in one instance, just before the Mahabharata war, he goes to perform certain rites in the riverbank. He was going to bathe there. And Kunti Devi goes there to see Karna. If one person in the Duryodhana side who were the greatest threat for the Pandavas, it was Karna. Everybody knows that, isn't it? Arjuna was frightened of Karna, Yudhishthira was frightened of Karna, all the brothers were frightened of Karna. They all knew Karna was much more capable than anybody else. And he was the most expert archer, and nobody could fight with Karna. They all knew that. So when Kunti Devi went there to request Karna to withdraw from the battle, remember that in the Mahabharatam, Kunti Devi goes there to see Karna. It's a very touching scene in the Mahabharatam. Kunti Devi does not know what to say to Karna. She knows that the mistake has happened in life, that Karna was born and Karna has gone, she has abandoned Karna. And Karna was brought up by Duryodhana and the Adhiratha and the Suta. So he was called as a Suta, isn't it? Although he's a Kshatriya, actually. He's Surya, the sun god's son he is, isn't it? And from Kunti Devi. So he's a Kshatriya, actually. But he was brought up by Adhiratha. So therefore, Karna had to live, tolerate a lot of things in his life. And Karna did not know about his past. Karna did not know about his past. Kunti Devi told Karna about his story. Kunti Devi told Karna about his story and requested Karna to withdraw. Had Karna joined the Pandavas, perhaps Mahabharat war may not have happened. Because the power of Karna was such that all the diplomacy what Duryodhana has played in the Mahabharat war, was success was in winning Karna on his side. So dear is Karna to Duryodhana. And so much Pandavas were concerned about Karna. That was Karna's role there. So this Karna was requested by Kunti Devi not to join the Duryodhanas, and told Kunti Devi about his relationship with the Pandavas. Isn't it? His relationship with the Pandavas. Karna didn't agree. He went to the war. After the war was over, Pandavas came to know that Karna was their brother. Now, look at this way. When Pandavas came to know that Karna was their brother, they were thinking how unfortunate they were. That had they known that Karna was their brother, they would not have ventured into this war with them. He's the eldest, isn't it? Even above Yudhishthira Maharaj he was. But none of them had the opportunity to realize this before. Neither from Karna's side nor from the Pandava's side. Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying this, that in this world, every one of us, no matter which religion you follow, no matter which philosophy you follow, every living entity in this world is connected like this. And that is the point we forget while dealing with each other. So Vedavyasa is saying here that just like Karna has forgotten that connection, just like Pandavas have forgotten that connection, had they known, both of them knew each other, what their relationships were, this battle of Kurukshetram and also this killing each other would not have happened. In other words, he is saying to us that every living entity in this world, in Krishna's creation, is mutually related. Nobody is independent to think. When we forget, like Karna has forgotten and Pandavas have forgotten, that is when the fight starts in this world. So in order to bring this point to us, in this particular incident in the Mahabharatam, Vedavyasa is pointing it out that just like Karna has not accepted that relationship with the Pandavas, and just like the Pandavas also did not know that relationship with Karna, the result was that they had to carry so much distress with them. They had to kill each other because of this. And they had to fight this bloody war, and where millions and millions of living entities had to leave their body. So, in other words, actually, when does a war start in this world? when we forget this relationship between each other, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita is not meant for one society and one community. It is for the whole creation. The creation is meant to be guided by Bhagavad Gita. Because this principles of Bhagavad Gita is universal. It is not for one society or one community. It is meant for the whole universe. And that is why it is appreciated by the great thinkers and knowledgeable people. Learned people take this inspiration from Bhagavad Gita and through the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. That when this relationship is forgotten from one living entity and the another, immediately we forget and we start the war. That's when it happens. So that is how that ignorance permeates in the society and the leadership. And this is a great message in the Mahabharatam, where Vedavyasa Maharshi has kept it for us to note, for our own understanding. When Bhagavad Gita is not understood properly, then we engage in this. To tell you the truth, if you even look at the modern science, what has happened? Even science is bringing out, through their this new genetic engineering and all that, the same principle they are trying to bring out, that there is some connection between one person to another. Is it not? So, where does all this come from? Many, many thousands of years ago, Vedavyasa was able to notice this, that relationship between one living entity and another living entity. In other words, no person has any right to take the life of another living entity. That is what it is saying. Because that life is precious for that particular living entity in that particular body. Nobody else has got any right to destroy him or disturb that life in any way. And if this principle is understood, then that person will not be victimized by the ignorance. That is what Vedavyasa is saying there. So this Karna story is a very interesting thing in the Mahabharatam, because it is there that the sharirika, what is mentioned here as the austerity of the body, Krishna says here, isn't it? Devadvija guru prajna pujanam shaujam arjavam brahmacharya ahimsaja shariram tapa uchade. Look at this way. Ahimsa is given so much importance in this verse. In so many instances in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying ahimsa, ahimsa, ahimsa. Non-violence, non-violence, non-violence. And after hearing all this, what inspired Arjuna to go and fight? This question we have to ask, isn't it? Krishna has spoken so much about ahimsa. But in spite of all that, at the end, what inspired Arjuna to go and fight the war? That is, these are the questions that comes from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita answers all these questions. Bhagavad Gita answers all these questions. So Krishna is saying here that austerity of the body means this, that do not give pain to another living entity. That's the first instruction. First instruction is brahmacharya ahimsacha shariram tava uchade. Austerity of the body is not to give pain to another living entity. Only then you have austerity of the body. Otherwise there is no austerity. And when so many wars are happening all over the world under different pretexts, you can see how the ignorance is permeated. They are immediately thinking about the temporary gain, what they are going to get from there, without realizing the shastric injunctions behind it. That is the most important thing. Then, what else Krishna has spoken there? Krishna also says here, that Krishna also says here, that all the mind, the words and the body all has to fall in place in service, in Krishna service. Only then it is austerity, otherwise not. There's also another interesting thing there. Another interesting thing. What it is that in one instance, that Karna was just before the war, again we go back to Karna's story. Just before the war, what happened was, one day Krishna went to see Karna. Krishna went to see Karna. Krishna knew Karna's capabilities very well, and he was going to be the most difficult person to fight with. And when you read Mahabharatam, your heart also melts for Karna, at least a little bit. There's nothing wrong in that. It will melt, because Karna is such a personality in Mahabharatam who draw our compassion, or our feeling for Karna comes. We feel that Karna has not been treated properly. We will feel that. Now this Karna, Krishna went to see him. When he went to see him, Karna was getting ready to bathe. Karna was getting ready to bathe. So there was a bowl, a golden bowl, in which there was oil kept, which he was massaging on his body. He's a fighter, isn't it? All the time, body has to be in full, in a fit condition. So he massages oil body and gets himself ready for the battle any time. So Krishna got there at that time. Krishna commended to Karna, that bowl what you are having is a very nice one, he said. It's a very nice bowl. Krishna just made a comment. Karna got the message. Karna got the message. What he did was, he poured all the oil on himself, and with the left hand, he handed over the bowl to Krishna. He says, you can have it, he said. You see, Karna is known for charity, isn't it? In the Mahabharata, if you read, you will know Karna is known as the most charitable person. So Karna was known for his charity. Krishna was going to test this charity of Karna. Karna handed over with the left hand. When he handed over with the left hand, Krishna says to Karna, why have you given it to me with the left hand? Because that's not proper. You offer something to anything, it should be given with the right hand. That's the proper etiquette. Left hand offering is considered to be particularly bad. So when he offered, why did he offer with the left hand? Karna's answer to Krishna was, Kshanam chittam kshanam vittam kshana jeevitam amayoho. He says, Kshanam vittam kshanam chittam. Kshanam vittam means, money will come and it will go. It won't stay. And kshanam chittam. Mind also is like that. When the mind decides something, it can change very easily, isn't it? We know that very well, isn't it? You make a decision, something in life, and then 5 minutes, your mind will tell you, maybe the best thing is the other thing to do. Some people, they can go for days together, this decision-making process. And then they think and rethink, and then they look at all aspects from all angles, and then eventually they'll go and jump into some problems at the end also. That also happens. So this is the nature of the mind. Chanam vitam, chanam chittam. Then what else? Chanam jivita mahayoho. This life is also temporary. It's also not very permanent thing. We don't know, we don't have any guarantee how long we are going to be here either. Isn't it? Then Karna says to Krishna, Yamasya karuna nasti. As far as Yamadharma Raja is concerned, he has no mercy on anything. Therefore, Dharmasya turidagadi. This is in the Mahabharata. He says, Dharmasya turidagadi. When you feel you want to do something good in this world, particularly any spiritual activity, charity or anything, you should immediately do it without thinking about it too much. Because Karna says, that is what I have done now. If I have started thinking, if I give this bowl to Krishna, what will happen to me? Where will I go for another bowl and start thinking like that? It will not happen. Karna was justified in that, saying that. Because Karna said, you asked for it, and I wanted to give it straight away. And when the thought came, I handed over to you straight. I didn't look whether the right hand or left hand. I done the thing, what I have to do. That was Karna's words to Krishna. Krishna amazed by seeing Karna's strict understanding. Because chanasya vittam, money will come and it will go also. It will not. Chanasya chittam also. Chittam is also like that. Mind is also like that. Chanasya jividoho. Jividam, life is also like that. Yamasya karuna nasti. There is no mercy from Yama's side. He is not going to wait. Oh, I'll give you so much lifetime. You may have so many plans in life to do so many good things in life. Thinking that, okay, let me become rich first and then I'll earn a lot of money. When my family is all settled, then everything is fine. Then I will start doing my charity or anything. It's not going to happen. That's what Karna is saying. Dharmasya karuna nasti. Yamasya karuna nasti. Dharmasya turida gadi. The way in which dharmam one has to do is when one can do it, one should do it. It should not be left behind for a long time. That is the message what Karna has spoken. then you can see that when Karna was inquiring about his own route, when Karna was inquiring his own route, where did he end up? He ended up in the Pandavas camp, isn't it? He ended up in the Pandavas camp. Similarly, when the Pandavas inquired, they also found out they were connected with karma. They were connected with Karna. So similarly, if you inquire further and further, you will ultimately realize that behind all these billions and billions of living entities, there is one root of all this. because originally we have all come from Krishna. We have all come from Krishna. In other words, we have forgotten that connection, that all these living entities are also brothers to us or sisters to us. All the other living entities also are related with us. We forget that secret. And when we forget that secret, we see every living entity as different. And it is at that point that we become, fall into ignorance. And this is the message what Vedavyas wanted to tell us. What Vedavyas wanted to tell us through that story of Karna. The story of Karna and the Pandavas. Karna and Pandavas is teaching us this story. Now, we'll go into the next one. This itself is mentioned like this. Toimai, in Bhajagovindam prayers, it says like this. Toimai anyatra ekaha Vishnu. Vyartham kupyasi me asahishnu. Toimai anyatra ekahi Vishnu. It is Vishnu or Krishna's, Vishnu is present in everyone. Toimai anyatra ekahi Vishnu. Vyartham kupyasi me asahishnu. What it is completely useless becoming intolerant with somebody else. That's what Krishna says. Bhajagovindam prayer says like this. Toimai anyatra ekahi Vishnu. Vyartham kupyasi me asahishnu. What is the point in me becoming asahishnu, intolerant towards others? Toimai anyatra ekahi Vishnu. In everything, what is present is Vishnu. Vishnu is present in every living entity. Then, adeshakale yaddhanam apatrebhyaschadiyade asalkradam avajnadam tatamasam udahradam. Tatamasam udahradam. Krishna says, kalam, desham, patram. These are the things for charity. Kalam, desham and patram. So we have seen here, first of all, we spoke about the Devadija Guru Prajna Pujanam Shaujam Ajavam Brahmajariya Mahimsaja Shariram Tapavuchyade. That is austerity of the body we talked about. Then now the austerity of the word Krishna is talking about. Verse number 15. Anidvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Priyahidam Jayal Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tava Uchade. Now, this is an important one because Anidvegakaram Vakyam, when we speak to others, Krishna says Anidvegakaram, it should not create anxiety in other person's mind. Satyam Priyahidam Jayal, and the truth should be spoken. Normally, of course, influenced by passion, we forget these things. But Shastric injunction is that Satyam Bruyal, Priyam Bruyal, Na Bruyal, Satyam Priyam. We should always speak the truth, provided it is spoken in a palatable way to the other person who is hearing it. It should not disturb that person's mind. That is the instruction. Satyam Bruyal, Priyam Bruyal, it should be spoken in a palatable way to the other person. Then Priyam Bruyal, Na Bruyal, Satyam Apriyam. Even if it is truth, if it is causing disturbance to the other person, Na Bruyal, it should not be spoken. This is the Shastric injunction. Sometimes it's very difficult to follow that. We say in the moment, at that point in the heat of the argument or anything, we completely forget all of the that Yoganam takes over. And at that time, we don't think about it. But actually, strictly from the Shastric point of view, it is like that. Satyam Bruyal, Priyam Bruyal, Na Bruyal, Satyam Apriyam. Whatever that is spoken, it should be Satyam, truthful. But if it is spoken only in a palatable way, that it does not disturb the other person. Na Bruyal, Satyam Apriyam. Even if it is truthful, even this truth, it should not be spoken if it is going to cause distress to the other person. This is how Anudvegakaram Vakyam. Krishna says Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satya Priyahidam Chayal. It should be spoken. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tava Uchyadem. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam means you should only speak based on the Shastram. That is another thing. So now you can see the difficulty. Only those who have Swadhyayam. Swadhyayam means studying the Shastram on a regular basis. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva. Then, Vangmayam Tava Uchyade. Anything that is spoken with the understanding of Shastram, that is called the austerity of the word. Krishna says that's called the austerity of the word. Otherwise, whatever we speak without any understanding for our daily survival in this world, that is not austerity of the word. That is not at all considered to be good. So, what that does not create any distress to another person, and what is pleasing to him, that can be spoken. And also swadhyaya abhyasanam. Otherwise, it should. That means that he everything should be spoken based on the injunction or the authority of the Shastram. And such word, what is spoken in that way, is called the austerity of the word, Krishna says. Then, mana prasada saumyatvam maunamalpa vinigraha bhava samshudirityada tapo mana samuchyadeyam. In the earlier things we say that one who studies the Vedic literature, Shastram, and one who is performing, chanting the holy name, kirtanam, everything, only for such purposes the tongue should be utilized. Otherwise, whatever purpose the tongue is used, is considered to be not austerity. It is the uncontrolled sense in that way. Now, if you look into the next one, manaprasada saumyatvam mauna malpavinigraha bhava samshuddhityadam tapo mana samuchyadeyam. Always keeping the mind peaceful without being disturbed by emotions, and in a peaceful way, if he is able to control his mind and senses and stay peacefully, and that is what is important, Krishna says. Unable to control the mind, able to control the emotions, and at the same time always fixed up in the spiritual identity, Atma Bhavam. That's what it's called. That kind of life, Krishna says, is the mental austerity. It's called the mental austerity. When one has all three above the above, that means the austerity of the mind, austerity of the body, and austerity of his words, he is called tapasvi. He is called tapasvi, Krishna says. Now, this is where the difficulty comes. Because when we read all these things, as I mentioned before, we will see that with all these things, Arjuna went to fight the war, isn't it? Arjuna went to fight the war. Also, when we read these verses, it is also, we have a role in this. Our nature is to read Mahabharatam and we start evaluating the persons there. In other words, we want to stay out of it. We don't apply these rules to us, ourselves. We don't do that. Why Krishna is saying here is, we also have to take it into our own life and see where we stand in all these things. In this austerity is concerned, as far as the body, mind and the words are concerned. But what do we do normally? We don't do that. We don't evaluate ourselves. On the other hand, we'll take Mahabharatam and we'll start evaluating everybody and saying that Yudhishthira is like this, Arjuna is like this, Duryodhana is like that. We'll evaluate everything and we say, oh, we understood now everything. But what's the use? No, that's not what the goal was. The goal Krishna has spoken these things here to Arjuna was so that we also see that where do we stand in the middle of all these things. Austerities of the mind is concerned, austerity of the body is concerned, austerity of the words are concerned. We are also nowhere near the mark, are we? Yeah. We are also not anywhere near the what Krishna is explaining. We also have do not have any of the tapas in what Krishna has explained here. Our austerity of the body is only when it suits us, we perform austerity. Listen in. Similarly, austerity of the mind and the words are also not very much what Krishna has spoken here. So every area, all these things what Krishna has spoken here is to make us conscious that take that into your own life and see for yourself where we stand in all these things. And only then we can see that that Mahabharata war, which actually is another war going on within us, within ourselves, there is another war going on, isn't it? And in that, why we are not able to win over that war? That war is this, that Krishna has spoken before. What's that? Kama, Lobham, Moham, Madham, Malsaryam. That six different kinds of baddies who are fighting there in us. And also there are certain good things, truthfulness, austerity and all that. They are fighting each other within us, isn't it? So therefore, All these things what Krishna has spoken, individually we have to look at ourselves also, how far it is influencing us in our progress in spiritual life. Only then you can make some benefit from Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, simply studying Bhagavad Gita like a historic book and saying that this happened in Kurukshetra between the Pandavas and the Kauravas, and Krishna helped the Pandavas and they won the war, and that's it, and this is Bhagavad Gita I have understood. That Bhagavad Gita understanding is not very good. There's no much help. But when all these things, what Krishna has spoken, is transformed into our own, and translated into our own character, our own life, and then judging from outside where we stand, then that's of benefit to us. Then Krishna says the next one, then, Manaprasad Saumyatvam Maunamalpa Vinigraha Vavasam Shudhirityadam Tapomana Samuchyade. So, all in relationship with the mental austerities. And Krishna says, all these things, when one has got it, he is considered to be a tapasvi. Then, from now on, in three verses, Krishna is talking about Krishna is talking about the tapas, what kind of austerities it is. So earlier he talked about the mind, body and the words. Now he is talking about the type of austerities. Shraddhaya parayadaptam tapastal truvidham nari apalagam shivir yuktai sattvikam parichakshadem. So shraddhaya parayadaptam tapastal truvidham nari. Krishna says there are three kinds of tapas also. All the three things what mentioned above, that is bodily austerity, mental austerity and austerity of the world. If all these three things, when one performs with complete understanding and seriousness, with Shraddha, such and without expectation of any results, that is considered to be in the mode of goodness. And only those who have come out with that, from that, when one is free from Rajogunam and Tamogunam, when his mood of goodness is expanded, only such a person can execute such a thing. And such a situation, you should consider that that person is in the mood of goodness. Now, when explaining this verse, also we have to look at it this way. Shraddhaya parayadaptam tapastal trividham nareyam. Narair, Krishna says. Narair means one who has the leadership. One who has got the leadership. That's what narair means. So, Krishna is saying here, Abhalagam shivir yuktai sattvikam parijakshadeyam. Now, so many statements in the Vedic literature, is sometimes very perplexing, isn't it? And we have gone so far away from that. In many ways, we have completely left them. So, Abhalagakshavidyaktam sattvikam parijakshade, Krishna says. So, what does it mean? It means, then, in the Shastra, there are certain statements. The dharma of a human of a man, dharma of a woman, and brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmachari, grastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, all these dharmam is discussed in the shastra. Now, if you look, for example, take the one of the verses from Manu Samhita. Manu says like this. Manu says that the women protection is important. Manu says like this, isn't it? Women ought to be protected all the time. And there are certain verses in the Manu Samhita which in the very first time when you read it, we may say that, oh, this cannot be acceptable to the society. That is how it starts everything. We start changing things then. Then we will start making our own to suit the modern life, we say. Isn't it? So, Krishna says, in the Manu Samhita it says like this, that that the Pitarakshani Kaumare, that a girl has to be protected when she is small by the father. Girl has to be protected when she is small by the father. Pitro Rakshadi Kaumare. Then, Bartro Rakshadi Yavane. Husband has to protect the girl in the married life. Husband has to protect her. then Pitro Rakshati, Bartho Rakshati, Yavani. Then Putro Rakshati Vardhake. Putro Rakshati Vardhake. Vardhake means in the old age, the son has to protect her. Nastri Swadandra Marhari. That woman has no freedom, as it says in the Mana Samhita. It says like that. You know what happens? In the modern world, they see this, they read it, and they say that, is this practical? Or what kind of injunction is this? And they straight away bin it, isn't it? Mana Samhita is finished then and there. There is no further thoughts about it. Why it has spoken like that? Why was that? Swayambhuva Manu, who wrote this, put these things in the Shastram. What was the reason behind it? Protecting somebody for a higher purpose is necessary. Protecting somebody for a higher purpose is necessary. Say, for example, you have someone among you or among any one of us suddenly managed to become a MP or became a Prime Minister of the country. Then what happens? Immediately he has got these commandos for his protection, isn't it? Commandos for his protection. He is not the same person who used to be with us before. If you go to see him even, before you go in, they will check about you. Because when he becomes Prime Minister, I am saying, say take for example Tony Blair. So Tony Blair is as a Prime Minister, he is protected, isn't it? He is protected by the, say, commandos or the whatever they call the security group. So even if anyone comes to see him, they will be examined by they are not just allowed to come in, walk in freely. And even if there is any meeting or any conference or anything with the other ministers or even with the other important advisors, whatever it is, they are all always examined. What to speak about that? Even the food that is offered to the top personalities, Prime Minister and all that, is examined. If there is anything contaminated in the food for them. Because all these things are only for the protection of that person when he is in that position. Similarly, in the Mana Samhita also, all these things are written there because it is necessary to protect a person because of the higher responsibility that's been given to them. That's why it is spoken like that. See, otherwise, what will happen is, when the society do not take this and misunderstand things, we think that all this is impractical, and this, of course, in the modern world it is impractical, and that is how the society is running today, and therefore we have so much problems also. But imagine there was a society at one time which rigidly followed these rules, and therefore they did not have the kind of problems what we are experiencing today. So Shastram is not wrong. What is wrong is, when we apply that into our society, we are unable to do so because we have rejected Shastram. And that is what Krishna is repeatedly saying to us, that Ashastra Vihidam Ghoram, one who rejects a Shastram and executes his own whimsically, he brings out rules, he is going to be in difficulty. The society will suffer from that. Just like the Prime Minister is protected at that time for various reasons, that he needs protection. If he is not protected, he could be in problems. Therefore, he is protected. Similarly, women's state position is also in the society is like that. And that is why this kind of protection has been offered in the Mana Samhita. That's the reason behind it. So, you can see here, Shraddhaya Parayodaptam Tabastar Trividam Narehi Abhala Akshamim Yaktai Satvigam Parijakshadeyam. Then Salkaravana Bhujartham Tabodambhejai Vayal Kriyadetadiha Proktam Rajasam Jalamadhruvam. Now, in the next one, Krishna talks about the Rajasic nature of tapas. What is that? Salkaravana Bhujartham Tabodambhejai Vayal Salkaravana Bhujartham. Salkaravana Bhujartham means, in order to receive some honor from somebody else, and or otherwise in order to exhibit his own pride or ego, for such reasons, when one performs some kind of penances or tapas, it is called Rajasam. Krishna says it is Rajasam. So nowadays there is so many such kind of Rajasic tapas goes on, isn't it? apart from the marriage I mentioned before, there was 21st birthday, entering a new house, buying a new car. You can see all the time something is going on, some kind of yajnam goes on with that. According to Bhagavad Gita, that is all rajasam. There is no meaning at all. But society won't give, no matter whatever you say, the society is not going to change. They'll continue doing what they are doing because the rajasic nature inside is so strong. It is, adherence to shastram is not important for them. Not for them. As soon as this causes a lot of problems also in the society, you can see that particularly in the modern society, it puts so much pressure on people, isn't it? It puts so much pressure on people that we live in a society, we want to conform to the society, we conform to shastra also. Which one do we choose? We choose the society, not the shastram, is it? Strictly speaking, all these birthday parties, 21st birthday, 40th birthday, all this is nonsense. It is actually no sense at all. Because from the Shastri point of view, Krishna is saying here, Salkaramana Pujartam Tabodambhena Jaivayal Kriyavetadhiya Proktam Rajasam Chalamadhruvam. It's purely Rajasam. That is the force behind it. It has no other goal from there. But we continue doing it. Why? Because society is saying that it has to be done. So there, in such a small thing, we are unable to adhere to Krishna's words. What to talk about another important things. There even we are driven by the society. So, like that, every function when you take in this world, you will notice this rajasic element very strongly there. That Krishna is saying here, whatever money that has been spent in that way is also rajasic. Yavadvito barjana sakta savannija parivaro rektaha pascha jivadi jarjaradehe vartam kobi na prachadigehe. Krishna says there, yavadvito barjana sakta, that with a strong desire, the rajasic person works very hard and earns money. And then, tavadvija parivaro rektaha, he thinks that I will enjoy my life with all my parivaram. Parivaram means all my family members, society, community, this, that and the other. Savan nija parivaro rektaha. Then what happens? One day, the life air leaves this body of the person. Then what happens is, pascha aljivadi jar jaradehe. When the life leaves that body, vartam kobi na prachadigehe. All these friends and society who have joined you in your 21st birthday and the 60th birthday and 41st birthday, whatever that was, and all the ceremonies, they won't even look at your dead body. They don't even want to see that after that. That is how strong that relationship is. That's what is reminded here. Why we have to say all these things? Because Krishna is making us to realize that our understanding or what rules what we have created falls into these three modes of nature. And when one person is under these three modes of nature, where is the question of his Shraddha turning into spiritual life? This is the point we have to ask. Krishna also mentioned in the beginning, what did he say? Satyugadhyalmigi Shraddha Karma Shraddha Turajasi Tamasadharmado Shraddha Madsevayamthunurgunam. So as long as our Shraddha is fallen into this rajasic activities like this, these kind of things are rajasic activities. As long as our Shraddha is in these rajasic activities, there is no question of spiritual life happening to us. There is no question of spiritual life happening to us. Such a overhauling is required in the society. That's what Krishna is saying. That in order to withdraw the mind from all these things and to fix it in Krishna consciousness, this is important. This is important. All the time, this is what goes on in the society. 21st birthday, 30th birthday, this wedding, that wedding. And in continuously engaged in these kind of activities and feeling pleasure from that. Why? Because unable to accept Krishna's instruction. Feeling that, oh, what the society will think about me if I don't do this. And this way, it goes on. So, but Krishna is saying here, because your Shraddha is in these things, it is not possible for you to come to spiritual life. That's what Krishna is pointing out. Because your Shraddha is in all these things. In these birthday parties and marriage parties and the shaving ceremonies and all the other kind of things. Krishna says, there is no possibility for you to come to spiritual life. Because Adhyatma Shraddha is not there. All the Shraddha is on the wrong side.
Mudagrahena atmanoyal pidhayakriyade tapaha parasyol sadhanartham va tattama samudahradam. Now Krishna is talking about after talking about the rajasic nature.
Rajasic nature is only for achieving, only for getting the glories from others. Everyone should glorify us. Therefore we engage in that.
But for tamasic nature is, it is much more interesting than
tamasic nature. All the austerities has come from ignorance, Krishna says.
Why? In such a case,
without any knowledge, he will torture his body.
He will torture his body.
Or, whenever he performs some austerities, it will be for the destruction of somebody else. That will be his goal behind it.
And because the tamogunam has increased so much in him, that his mind is only working in terms of destroying someone else and giving trouble to somebody else.
And such kind of activities, you know, things what we are talking about, like this black magic, some people engage in that, isn't it? That why? Because they want to give trouble to somebody. There's so many of this black magic kind of things. And there are places where they are very prominent also. And people sometimes travel from other places to find the best ones who can be used for this kind of things. So such activities who have fallen into that category, which is meant for giving giving trouble to others. Only that's a goal, nothing else. Only that's the goal. Only that's the goal. Once it so happened, one Brahmana was sitting in front of the deity and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. It so happened. So people were coming to see the deity, and they were moving through. So suddenly he observed one person was praying to Krishna like this. He was saying to Krishna like this. This Brahmana was reading Bhagavatam, and this person was going through. He thought the Brahmana wasn't hearing, but he was loudly praying to Krishna that, how many times have I asked you that that person should be killed? He said, this is how he was praying to Krishna. Then, in other words, his desire was such that that person is the only problem for him in this life, in this world. If he goes away, his life is happy. He has come to that firm conclusion. So when one goes like that, another one will be there waiting. So that he doesn't recognize. He is thinking that this is the only problem. So he was loudly praying this. So this person who was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, he closed his Bhagavatam there. He closed Bhagavatam there. And then he called this person. And he explained to him that, do you talk to Krishna like this, in this way? And Krishna is still smiling, standing there. Nothing has changed there. He is still smiling. So the person mind was so much controlled in tamogunam, he has to be told at such times that such going through that route of giving destruction of others or giving pain to others is coming from ignorance. And sometimes people find that very hard to accept also. Then, so like this, Krishna has spoken about the three types, Satyam, Rajasam and Tamasam. Now, what does Krishna say now? Krishna is now talking about something different. That is talking about the dhanam, charity, how to give charity. All these things are only to open up our eyes. Dadavyam idi yad dhanam dhiyade inupakarine. Upakarine. Deshe kale javatreja taddhanam satyam spradam. Then there are three things which are related to charity. These three things are very important. Desham, Kalam and Patram. What are they? Desham means the time. Desham means the place. Kalam means the time. And Patram means the recipient of the charity. Recipient of the charity. One who knows these three things, his charity is proper. Desha, Kala, Patram. Desham, Kalam and Patram. That means place, time and the recipient.
He should be clear. And
only after knowing these three things, one should perform charity. Otherwise, it can fall into the lower categories.
At the right place, at the right time, at the right to the right person, charity should be performed. Such a charity is considered to be in the mood of goodness.
without looking at any of this, and without expecting any benefit from the charity, what is being given, when one performs charity, and that is according to the injunction of the Shastram, that is the tradition of the people in the mode of goodness. People in the mode of goodness. So, Dadavyamiti Yadhanam Diyadenu Bhagarine Deshe Kaleja Patreja Tadhanam Satyam Spradam. Then, Yaturati Bhagara Artham Balamudya Shavabuna Diyadeja Variklishtam Tadhanam Rajasam Spradam. Now in the then in the next verse, Krishna is talking about those who are in the Rajasic nature. Rajasic nature is different. They will not look at time or the place. They will only look at the recipient. They will only look at the recipient. Then they will also calculate in their mind, by giving charity to this person, will I get any benefit from that? Only then he will give the charity. Or in other words, that is the only to such people they will give charity. Then, in other words, the purpose of giving charity itself is in order to get some benefit from that. They will not look at the time or the place, and this is the nature of those who are advanced in Rajogunam, Rajasic nature. Krishna says like this. Then, and this, as I mentioned before, with that Karna's story, then Karna's charity was also like that, but because Krishna has asked for it, and time and place was not important. Karna gave it. And Karna's explanation to that was much more fascinating. Isn't it? Karna says that at that time, that yamasya karuna nasti, when charity was to be given, and when one has the right frame of mind, because you see, in our own mind, these three gunas, sattvam, rajas and tamas, keeps coming and going. Isn't it? We all know that. Sometimes, you are in the mode of goodness, at that time you want to do something good also. Spiritual activity comes at that time. But suppose you got a thought like that, and at that time you decided that I have to execute some spiritual activity or some charity to be given for spiritual purposes. But then next moment, when you are controlled by Rajogunam or Tamogunam, these good thoughts what had come will completely alter your status of the mind. At that point, status of the mind will change. And then what will you say? We'll say, oh, I thought like that at that time. Maybe I should wait a little bit. These thoughts will come. And when these thoughts come, the charity may not happen. So a great opportunity is lost. That's what Karna was saying there. Yamasya karuna nasti. Yama dharma raja has no mercy. Yamasya karuna nasti. And he says, dharmasya turidagadi. Dharmam is also like that. Turidagadi, it goes very fast. So when sattugunam predominates in a person, when the desire for spiritual activities comes up, one should immediately execute that. That is the message from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying like that. Then, adeshakale yadhanam abhatrebhyascha diyade asalkradam avajnanam tattam samudakhridam. As Krishna says before, then, sutre mani ganaiva, Krishna says, everything is tied to me in this world. Everything is, well, that's what Krishna mentioned in before. If you remember, in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said this. What did he say? Sutre mani ganaiva. That is the same thing, what message, what Vedavyas told us through Karna's story. Vedavyas told us that through Karna we have to realize this, that all of us have some relationship in this world. No matter which species we belong to, which country we belong to, which body we all have some relationship from Krishna's creation. That is the first thing we have to recognize. And that is the same thing in the 7th chapter Krishna said, sutre mani gana yuva. The whole thing is, connected. Just like pearls in a thread, through a thread, how it is connected? Similarly, all of us are connected in Krishna's creation, in one way or the other. That relationship we forget sometimes, and then we have difficulty at that point. That's what Krishna was saying there. So, here Krishna says, adeshakale yadhanam apatrebhyascha diyade asalkritam avajnatam tattamasam udakhritam. Without looking at kalam, desham, patram, that means time, place and the recipient, and all in the wrong way, giving charity to someone, insulting him all the time, and continuously yelling at him, handing over charity to him, that is in the mode of ignorance, Krishna says. Only when tamogunam increases to a very large degree, one can do such a thing. You can't even call it as charity at that point, and there can't be any results also from that. But those who are in the mode of ignorance can perform charity only in that way. Krishna says like that here. So, now Krishna has spoken about so many things. What all? Krishna has spoken about the food, what we eat, how in the three modes it falls into. Isn't it? Shraddhatra Vibhaga Yogam we are discussing. So here, Krishna has spoken about the food, what we eat, falls into these three categories. What else? Krishna spoke about the sacrifices we perform under three categories. Yajnam, Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Then Krishna spoke about tapas, austerities we perform in the three modes. Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Then Krishna spoke about now, what Krishna spoke about, the charity we perform. Again in the three modes. Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. So when we read these verses, naturally our activities also we have to look at how they fall, which one they fall into, isn't it? And otherwise, and then you can see why it is so difficult for us to progress in spiritual life, isn't it? Why it becomes so difficult to progress in spiritual life? Because most of the time, if you give, say satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Give points to it, 5, 3 and 1, like gold, silver and bronze medal, like that, if you put it. You make a chart of all these things, and you see your own activities, and add up all the points, and see how much points we make from that. And then you can see that where we stand in spiritual life. That's also an indication to us. When all these things changes, Krishna says, when it comes to satugunam, and or, as Krishna says, Malsevayam to Nirgunam, or beyond the three modes of material nature, only then we can say we are spiritually situated. Otherwise, we are in the materialist life still. We are not moved very far from there. That is the point Krishna was bringing out in these different verses. Now, from now on, there is another six verses. And in these six verses, Krishna is bringing about something different than what we have seen so far. What it is, you must have seen a statement, Om Tat Sat, isn't it? Underneath so many introductions, Prabhupada writes, Om Tat Sat, isn't it? That's what mostly must have seen. Or sometimes some great personalities, when they write letters, at the end they will complete it with Om Tat Sat. I'm sure you must have seen that. Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, if you look at it, the preface or the end of it, Prabhupada writes Om Tat Sat, isn't it? What is this Om Tat Sat? Often people wonder this, isn't it? What does this Om Tat Sat mean? So, Krishna is going to explain that Om Tat Sat in the next 4 or 5 verses, so that we understand the importance of this Om Tat Sat. Om Tat Sat. Where does it come from? And what does it mean? And why it is spoken in that way? All these things are spoken in the next 3 to 4 verses. First of all, Om Tat Sat iti nirdesho Brahmanas trividas pridaha Brahmanas tena vedascha Yajnascha vihida puraha. This Om Tat Sat, Krishna says, Om Tat Sat is another way of defining Brahman. Another way of defining Brahman. Remember, we are now discussing the Jnana Yogam, isn't it? Jnana Yogam part of Bhagavad Gita. So, in Jnana Yogam, this is an important thing, this Om Tat Sat. In Jnana Yogam, this Om Tat Sat is important. Because Om Tat Sat represents Brahman, the Supreme Brahman. Brahman is represented by these words, three words, Om Tat Sat. Now, how do they represent? That is what Krishna is discussing here. Every Vedic hymn in the Vedas, does not become binding and become a cause of mental purification when this letter Om is spoken about with that. When the letter Om is spoken with that. That is the first thing. Importance of Om. If you remember, one whole chapter in Bhagavad Gita refers to Om. Do you remember that? Chapter 8. It's called Akshara Brahma Yoga. Akshara Brahma means nothing but Om. Yeah? So Om is discussed in one whole chapter Krishna has spoken about. Why did he do that? Because of its importance in the importance in the Vedas. This letter Om has so much importance. It's so difficult to ignore it, because in everything, whenever we say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, it's like this Om, Om, Om in everything. This letter Om is important. And Akshara Brahma, when we discussed Om at that time, if you look at verse chapter 8, that is verse, with chapter number 13, verse 13, what did Krishna say? Om ittega aksharam brahma vyaharan mamanusmaran yaprayadi tejan deham sayadi paramam gadim. Krishna says here that after you have, if you read verse 12, Krishna says, sarvadvara anisamyamya manohridyane vidhyaja mudhyanayatmana pranam astido yoga dharanam. Yogi, what he does is, he pulls the pranam upwards, and after being bringing into the mind and bring the prana into his murdha. Murdha is this, that the place where at the top of his head. And then what he does is he recites this letter Om, and he recites this letter Om, a long Om, Om, like that, a very controlling his breath. This is all coming from the Ashtanga Yoga, Patanjali's Ashtanga Yoga. So when he speaks your Om in that way, and with that pranavam, he breaks the head and leaves the body at that time. He breaks the head and leaves the body. That is how the yogis leave the body. Isn't it? You know, the Ashtanga Yogis, when they have mastered everything, when they want to reveal the body, they raise the pranam from Mooladharam, that is on the bottom of the vertebra, and they bring it up all the way, right up to the top of the head, break this, Brahmarandram it is called, they break it and it escapes from that. In some instances, it will not break. In such cases, what do? A person who is aware of that, they will take a stone and break it here on the top of the head so that the pranam can leave the body. Pranam has reached that point, but it will not go beyond than that. Somehow the Brahmarandram is not breaking. There is a hole here called Brahmarandram. This is all completely from the Ashtanga Yoga point of view. And to break the Brahmarandram and the soul pranam to escape from that, it needs that opening. Open. And it only opens up when the yogi is fully performed everything properly according to the system, and only yogis are capable of doing that. Krishna has explained that to some extent through Dhyana Yogam in the 6th chapter about this yogic process, and Patanjali's Yoga Sutram will explain that in detail. But this yoga process, in some instances, when the pranam comes all the way here, it is unable to break through that point. At that point, one who is knowledgeable about that, he takes a stone and breaks the head here, so that the soul can leave the body. And because only if it leaves through Brahmarandram, it goes back to the spiritual world for a yogi. In leaving the soul through other holes in the body is not acceptable for them. For them, it has to go through the Brahmarandram. As you know, probably if you have looked at any of these books related to Yoga Shastram, Ashtanga Yoga system, you will find there is, starting from the lowermost point where the soul has to, the pranam starts moving up from there, isn't it? Mooladharam it is called. Mooladharam it begins, and that is where the different chakras come. Mooladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, and then the three lower ones. Then we have got Ida, Pingala and Sushumna, the three nadis through which it travels. Then we got Anahata Chakram, Vishuddhi Chakram, Ajna Chakram, and Sahasrara Padmam and Brahmarandram. That is the step-by-step way it goes to the top. It goes to the top. And at the right time, when the yogi has trained, the whole lifetime they spend in doing this, to get master this art. You have to spend the whole lifetime. And there is no guarantee that you will succeed in that at the end. Only rarely the yogis are capable of doing that, to leave the body through that hole at the Brahmarandram. So Krishna is now talking about here is that yoga system includes the chanting of the letter Om. It is important for them. Om ityekaksharam brahmam. Brahmam is nothing but Om. Om is the symbolic representation of Om. Now, there's one more thing before we complete today, that one who knows the value of letters, only he can appreciate this. I'll just tell you a few things about sound. Sound, when we talk something, what we experience in this world is called vaikari. Vaikari it is called. But sound did not originate when we started moving the lips. When did the sound originate? It has originated much, much before. And that sound, when it has originated on the very beginning of creation, that is called para. Para. It is called para. And when that sound comes to the body, because we are able to speak today, the sound vibration we are able to create, is only because that sound originally which Krishna has left in this world, in this creation, we are able to use it to express our thoughts through that. Isn't it? So when it comes out, first where does it come? It comes to the mind. Isn't it? It comes to the mind. So the para sound, when it comes to the mind, it is called Pashyandi. It is called Pashyandi. Pashyandi. So, once it has come to the mind, then it starts moving through the different nerves, isn't it? To the different nerves. The idea has, what we want to say, is in our mind. When that got mixed with the sound, the original sound, para, then it is able to go further from that. So, para, pashyandi. It mixes with the mind and then it flows through the nerves and other places before it comes to the lips. And in that condition, it is called madhyama. It is called madhyama. And finally, when it comes outside through the lips, it's called vaikari. It's called vaikari. So this, whenever we speak, what you have to remember is this, it comes through these four stages. But all the three stages are unknown to us. It's only the vaikari that we are aware of, because that's what comes out from the mouth. The yogis know that sound, what is, where it originated from. That is why the sound vibration is so important. In the Jagrat, we are aware of the vaikari, isn't it? In the Jagrat, we are aware of the vaikari. When one is advanced in the yoga system, or even if one advanced in the chanting process, chanting the holy name. Because this chanting of the holy name is nothing but para. It is coming from the spiritual world, Krishna's sound. But it comes through all this before it becomes vaikari for us. So chanting loudly is actually nothing but vaikari. When it comes chanting in the mind, it is called pashyanti. At that time chanting in the mind. But as long as one is practicing that for a very long period of time, and if it's properly done, what happens is, even in the sleep, one chants the holy name. That means there is no more stopping after that. And that time, the sound of the chanting the holy name is called para. So this holy name and the chanting process is purely connected with the sound vibration. And simply by practicing it over and over again for a whole lifetime, one will give up the lower aspects of chanting, which is called the vaikari, madhyama and pashyandi, and one will reach the para, the final sound vibration, which is nothing not different from the supreme truth, when this one is totally realized. So that is a different stages of the chanting of the holy name also, which we will discuss next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.